The Federal Communications Commission has determined the following content to be emotionally harmful.
Funny things that you think funny aren't funny.
Give me cocks all the time. I want cocks all over me.
The Alan Cox Show kicks ass, man.
Welcome, welcome.
Show me what you got.
You're not going to see a lot of cocks on TV.
Alan Cox from the Alan Cox Show.
I don't know what it's about you, but I can't even stand your voice.
I think you're going to be a dick. So alive.
It's going to be a great show.
Let's kick it. Kick it, and you'll just kick it with a tasty groove, okay? One, two, three, kick it. Kick it, come on. God damn it. Could you one time kick it? What the?
Alan Cox.
Here we go. He'll ad-lib. He'll be fine.
It's the Alan Cox Show on 100.7 WMMS.
Good afternoon. Hi. Greetings and all that. Welcome, welcome. My name is Alan Cox. Thanks for showing up. Say hi to Bill Squire, who's right over there.
Hey, creepy hugs, everyone. Thanks for listening to and watching this episode of the Alan Cox Show. Don't forget to like, subscribe, and share Colton with the boys. Go Browns!
Oh, those Brownies. Brownie the Elf is excited. Chomps is excited, I'm sure. I'm told there's something called Swagger.
Swagger Jr.
That I guess is probably really excited.
Swagger Jr.'s a real dog.
Swagger Jr. Is there a Swagger Sr. or is
he passed
over the rainbow bridge, as they say? Your friend and mine, Intensity Intense Cities, Mary Santora is here as well.
Hi, guys. No babies. Happy Victory Monday.
Oh, what a day it was, too. What a day, what a day.
It's important to remember, though, that it's Victory Monday for the Browns. You're still a loser.
Yes, you still lost.
The royal you, or
whoever's listening. There's someone listening right now, like, hey, I'm feeling good. The Browns, and then you're a loser. You're like, oh, yeah, I am a loser.
You know what?
I don't know what they're doing today. You know, people listening, they might be having some personal victories of their own. Maybe. I don't know. What do I know? Pound Cake's back behind the glass.
Afternoon, white people.
Pound Cake, have you had any recent personal victories that you'd like to share with the class?
No, I'm a loser.
You went to boxing, you said.
Yeah, but is that a personal victory?
It's better than not going, right?
Yeah.
It beats staying home.
Yeah.
You're still doing that?
Yep, still doing that.
Now I asked him if he's going to come out on Sunday. He's like, no, I got to go to boxing. He's that committed.
Wait a minute, you mean Cody skipped a sporting event?
But Cody likes the scene, and he likes people, and, you know, there's a lot of cute boys. So he'd think he'd want to come out, but he wanted to go
in
box.
It was a good weekend. Browns won. My Bears won. There were no complaints as far as the eye could see. The Cox Out pregame was fun. Met a lot of... I kind of had to get my sea legs back because I hadn't done an appearance in over a year and a half. But it was nice to see everybody out and having fun. And holy cow, I don't know how I do it. I've been here almost 12 years. I always underestimate home opening day.
It's crazy.
It is unbelievable.
But this year, bigger than, I think, any other year.
West 6 was, like, closed down, and there was a whole thing.
Yeah. It was closed down.
A lot of fun. Yeah. No. Like, the street is full of people, and it's, you know, usually there's
they
people...
They have, like, events in the street.
Yeah. Usually there's people filtering in and out of, you know, clubs and bars.
You want to know how tone deaf I am? When I did go to my boxing class, I was like, wow, it's a really small class today. Usually it's packed. Didn't even think about it. I'm like, oh, yeah, everyone's downtown for the
Browns game.
I didn't even think
about it. Oh, you went yesterday.
Yeah.
On Sunday.
It's like during the Browns game. Like, starts at what, noon?
I go at noon on Sunday, and it's an hour class. But, yeah, so I couldn't go downtown. But I walked in, I'm like, wow. I can have, like, my pick of, like, the bag, because usually, you know, you go to which one's available. A lot were available. I'm like, okay.
Usually he has to go to whichever bag is available.
Got his pick of the bag.
There you go. Hitting the heavy bag. But that's what you want for your purposes when you're at the boxing club. You don't want there to be a bunch of people. Right? That's a great, day for you.
I mean, I don't mind, but it's usually just like, you know, we punch together, we sweat together, like it's like a thing. And I just noticed that it was like three quarters empty. I was like, damn, there's a lot of people.
But do you have like your own little crew, or you just mean the people that are in the gym?
Just the people that are in the gym.
Yeah, okay. So which bag did you pick?
I don't know, they're not numbered, but I had the whole back row pretty much.
All right.
Were you just like jumping from bag to bag, be like, I got this bag, in this bag, in this bag.
I was literally doing like Mulan moves. And no one
what does that mean?
Down to business.
A lot of cartwheels and stuff.
Mulan moves. All right.
I am training my niece. She's catching on to the fact that I don't do things on Sundays when there's Browns games. They picked me up from the airport yesterday. My sister and my two nieces, I got in from St. Louis around like 12:15. So we're already, I'm like, we got 45 minutes to get home, unpack, and watch the game. Mm-hmm. And my niece is like, Amy, do you want to come to Get Air with us? We're going to go to Get Air, and then we're going to go to the mall. And
get
I was like,
Air?
Yeah, it's like an indoor trampoline park.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah. And I was like
Sky Zone.
Yeah, like Sky right. Zone. And I was like, no, honey, the Browns play today. And she goes, oh, my God, all you do is watch the Browns. And I was like, you can come over and I'll teach you about football. She's like, I'm going to go to Get Air. Like, she was, like, so upset with me. I was like, and I don't.
She's a little kid. She doesn't care.
She's nine, yeah. But, like, last year, it was late in the season. It was around Christmas. And we were, like, playoff contenders and all this kind of stuff was happening. And she cried so hard to get me to go sledding with her. And she was like, this is going to be just like sledding. And I'm like, I'm not caving on the home opener. I'm right. watching this game. She's like trying to guilt me into skipping the game. You can watch football anytime. They upload the live stream to YouTube. I said, they absolutely do not.
No, you can literally go trampolining anytime.
That's what I said.
You can go anytime you want. But again, nine doesn't care.
Doesn't care.
Right? Doesn't understand the priorities of grown men and women when it comes to watching a children's game.
Yes.
That's right.
Amen.
I did notice that that little video from the Browns Muni lot tailgate went viral too. These guys,
I thought that was fake at first.
Oh no,
which
that
one?
Was very real.
A bunch of fat guys trying to fight each other and knocking over tables.
I feel like I could beat them both up.
I like the way it was written up though. In some
got
of
that
these
boxing confidence now.
I'm just saying weak ass punches. I'm like, wow.
Well, everybody's half in the bag though too. So
right.
it's not
they
like
drinking since 6 a.m.
Yeah, it's not like yeah. I was talking to some people at the Cox Out, and they were like. There were RVs lined up Friday night
yeah.
Friday?
At 6 p.m. to get into the Muni lot. I'm like, where do all these people have all this free time?
They make the time for this.
This is like their vacation. They're taking time off.
Oh, they do that.
Yes.
Okay.
I mean, the amount of money that some of these people put into tailgating is yeah. astounding.
These people have
they like
bought, it's their thing.
It's their money.
They,
do what
I mean,
you
it's
want.
A, but, I'm not saying. Yeah. I'm just saying it is... such a high level of commitment to
yeah.
to buy a school bus, turn it into like
that yeah. you use for 16 weeks
yeah, or yeah. 8 weeks really
yeah home games right
yeah it's crazy but like then paint it get a custom front on it
but they have to right. but they have
dog,
to be
it's crazy
even in the away weeks they've got to have people over at their place
oh,
still
sure,
in the
yeah.
school
sure,
bus
sure.
right
yeah.
it's mm-hmm. on the front lawn or whatever but the aerial views of the Muni lot
so
it
cool.
was amazing mm-hmm. it was crazy to watch and all I can imagine was think of all the tiny little fights that are going on down there right now
there's couples breaking up and people throwing up
yes. See, at the Cox Out pregames at the Ivy, we don't cotton to that kind of activity, though. We keep it nice and fun and civil, and everybody has a good time. Now, here's my concern, and I was talking to some people about this. Kind of, I met a lovely couple, Cassandra and Robert. She looked like Tiffany Haddish, right? She and her husband were there, and they were chatting me up for a few minutes. And I posed the question to them. Because we're at home next week, too.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm actually going to the game.
Me, too.
Because the Bears are in town, and that's the only time I go to the games, so it's about once a decade.
I just go to home openers.
My question is, should I wear my Bears jersey to
you
the Cox
Out? You are going to get destroyed.
But I'm me. I'm not like a random guy.
At the Cox Out pregame, do not wear it to the game.
Well, I'm going to wear it to the game. Why would I not wear it to the game?
People are going to taunt you.
I've been taunted my entire life. What are you talking
about? You're going to get taunted, Alan.
Yeah,
you're
right.
Taunted.
No, I wouldn't. I thought it might be bad form to wear it at my appearance.
Why?
Well, because it's a Browns thing. I'm like, hey,
we know that you're...
It's a pregame thing.
And that's my point.
Everyone knows you're a
Chicago fan. Of course I'm
going
to wear it to the game.
Yeah.
Well, not everybody. It's not like everybody knows everything about me, but, you know, I would happily tell them.
I would switch it if I were you. Because, well, I guess people know
you wear it to... I'm not going to be the only guy at the game in a Bears jersey. Trust. I'm just not.
Is that why the tickets were so expensive? Is Chicago travels, right? Like, they would come here to see...
Yeah, because it's still cheaper to just come here.
And stay for two nights.
And go to, like, a game in Chicago.
Well, I worked downtown forever bartending, and that was always the case with the Yankees. Whenever the Yankees fans were in town, they're like, it is cheaper to come to Cleveland for a weekend, get hotels, buy a game, all that kind of stuff, than it is to go to one Yankees game.
Well,
the World Series,
when the Cubs were coming here...
that's true.
They were... There was... almost more Cubs fans than Tribe fans because they were buying all these tickets resale And they're like, still cheaper than buying them in Chicago.
Well, also Cubs in the World Series. They were going to go wherever they had to play.
Studies show that listening to classical music can temporarily raise your IQ.
I feel pretty smart.
If you're looking for the opposite effect, just stay tuned.
The Alan Cox Show.
On 100.7 WMMS.
If you want to send me a text, we'll get to some calls from the after hours line this afternoon. I will also have tickets for you for the very last Indians home game of the entire Cleveland Indians era. That is this coming Sunday, the 26th. It's going to be Indians against the Chicago White Sox, the very last Indians home game at Progressive Field this Sunday. I'll have tickets for you today, tomorrow, and Wednesday. I'll do this at 4:20 this week. Indians had a pretty good weekend against the Yankees in New York. They took 2 of 3 by pretty sizable margins. They got shut out that first game, but then 11-3 and 11-1 were the 11-1 was the final yesterday. So they will start up. They're doing a doubleheader today here at home against the Royals. So that first game, there's a lot of baseball still to be played.
This week is getting crazy.
Yeah, because they've got another doubleheader like end of the week. I think one of those Thursday, White Sox games is So they're playing a game now, and then we'll dip into the second of the two when we get out of here. That's set to go off around 6:30. So 4:10 is the first one today, and then the second one after we're out. So two against the Royals today downtown, and then they'll White Sox will be in town. So I will have tickets for you for the very last Indians home game at 4:20. I also have tickets for Cleveland Beer Week this week for you. It's called Night at the Brewseum. I see what they did there.
Hell yeah.
And David Cross, the great David Cross, is doing the Agora in November. So if you dig him, I'll hook you up with the tickets there as well, too.
My buddy Sean Patton's opening for him. That's going to be a great show. Sean Patton.
Sean Patton.
Yeah, Sean Penn.
Yeah, Sean Penn.
That's why I was so surprised. Well, I was like, friends, wow.
And also that he's doing stand-up.
He's a phenomenal actor and activist, but I had no idea that he was funny. For any extended period of time. I mean, I certainly didn't think so. I saw Hurley Burley. Alan, my hopes for a Browns having a winless season have been dashed. I really enjoy seeing baby men cry. Here's to a one-win season. I think your hopes for a one-win season are going to get dashed, too.
Yes.
I think they're going to do... Jarvis Landry's out for who knows. They're either week-to-week with him, week-to-week. But that's a big deal if that guy's hurt. So we shall see what happens. But why would anybody wish for a winless season?
Because they're so stupid.
What?
I can't stand people like that. Like when they're just like, oh, you're stupid, smart, small. Like, why can't you just let people have their thing?
Listen,
that's their thing is to watch people be sad about it.
But so even people
giving their thing.
Even people giving even people giving the tailgaters a hard time. I'm like, at this point, anything that brings people together,
let them have it. If they're happy, just let them have it.
As long as nobody's really getting hurt or
You run into that. I mean, with comics, it's the worst because comics think that they're smarter than everybody and better than everybody, and they
it's a very narcissistic group.
Oh my god! And none of them. I feel like there are very few comics who are also into sports. A lot of them are like I just listen to podcasts or whatever. And so
there are a lot of people who got beat up growing up.
Oh yeah, I know. But it's like when I talk about being a Browns fan, or if I'm in a different city on a Sunday and I'm like, okay, figuring out time zones and where's the Browns backers bar, and I'm like trying to do all this, navigation, and they're just like, oh, I can't believe you. I'm like, just get over yourself, please.
But the crowd appreciates that.
Yeah.
Who cares about the other comics? The crowd appreciates it, 'cause that means you're a cool chick.
Right.
And she's funny and she likes sports.
That's crazy.
Too bad she doesn't drink beer.
Anymore.
Minnesota Vikings fans had a really hard time over the weekend. I don't know how they missed it, but the guys that were calling the game on the radio, the one guy botched the call. It was a game-losing field goal attempt.
Oh, no.
The Vikings have terrible, terrible luck with kickers. Just terrible luck with kickers. You know, sometimes you're going to, you'll miss it by this much, or you'll, chip something, whatever. These guys, when it comes down to when you really need them, they just flop. So the guy on the radio calls it as it's good. It was a 34-33 game against the Cardinals, and it was very clearly not good. Went wide. And I don't know how he missed it.
High snap, put down. Joseph, come on! It is gone! No, he missed it!
Good.
Are you kidding me? He missed it right. He missed it right. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my. He missed it right. What a gut punch to a team. That play after play toward the end fought its way back.
Yeah, because they really clawed back, but they lost 34-33 because the guy. But I was.
Didn't
I'm
they
like,
just lose?
I'm
on
like,
a field
how
goal
did how to, did the guy how did the guy not see what just happened if he's calling it on the radio?
Weird angle. He was worked up. I think the key in that situation is you don't watch the ball. You watch the referee to put their hands up so that you're not the one making the call. You let the refs make the call, and then you go off of what they do. And I think he was just hyped up and maybe at a little bit of a weird angle or just was so frothy for a win that he was just like, it's in. Oh, wait, no. I messed up.
Yeah, well, he did. He messed up.
Because, I mean, I was at the game yesterday, and there was a field goal, you know, that just kicking them from the angle that I was at. If they're kicking towards our end zone, you really couldn't tell if it was good from our side unless it was. I mean, there's certain ways, certain angles that you're not going to be able to tell if it's a good field goal or not.
You had to wait for the cue from the ref.
Right.
Right. But fortunately, you're not calling it on the radio.
Right, exactly, which is why I was looking at the refs and not at the ball.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, you know what? I have an idea here.
Yeah.
Instead of me trying to crane my neck around and still have no better view, I will watch these guys that are paid pretty good money to hold their hands up if the ball goes through.
The parallax is what you're getting there. Mm-hmm. Did you hear, by the way, in the office earlier, did you hear that Mary had a dream about us?
Oh, I did not hear that.
You didn't hear about that?
God, are you ready for this?
She was mentioning that she had a dream about us.
It's not about you guys.
Just answer me this. Was Pound Cake in it?
No, it's not about you guys. It's show related. No.
Well, then what do I care?
Listen.
It's not about me. What am I talking to you for?
Listen. So it was like 4th of July, and I'm sorry, it has to do with Berea. I was in Berea watching the fireworks with my whole family. My dad was there.
You
and
can take
he
the
was...
girl out of Berea. You cannot take the Berea out of the girl's brain.
It's the city of her dreams.
It was. My dad was there. Like, my whole family was there. Everybody's having a good time, and it was packed. There was, like, hundreds of thousands of people in Berea, like, just flooding the streets. It looked like the aerial views of, like, the Cavs parade, but for fireworks for Berea, right?
They do love the Bereans love their fireworks, as I understand it.
Well, we were all like, oh my God, look at all these people, right? And we're all having a good time, and the fireworks ended, and people are like walking back to their cars, and the sky like goes real dark real fast, and you hear thunder rolling in, and then there's all this like blue and purple and pink lightning, and everyone's like, what's going on? And then this robot comes out of the sky. It's this giant robot with a...
Any dream that includes... And then a robot shows up.
Is the robot Alan? Is that a representation of Alan?
Hold on. Okay. The robot comes out of the sky, and it's got a like an Iron Man face, but it's a blue Iron Man face. And so it like kind of looks like Iron Man, like this big giant robot. And he starts like pointing at people, and he's shooting lightning out of his fingers and just killing people in the streets. And it's pandemonium.
Bill, just for me to interrupt. Bill, what do you think the percentage is that Mary actually knows what the Iron Man mask looks like?
I do.
Do you?
Yes.
She likes Robert Downey Jr. enough.
I know what it looks like. So
I thought
like,
you thought all those movies were stupid.
They are. Well, I like them. I'm not obsessed with them. I'll go see it and have a good time, but I don't.
I see.
Blue Iron Man mask is called Rescue, by the way.
You're not watching them.
Oh, boy.
It's
Pepper Potts Iron Man outfit.
I don't remember asking you a goddamn thing.
Right. Okay. So a blue Iron Man, Pepper Potts comes flying through the Berea storm. Clouds.
Huge. And just shooting people with their fingers, and lightning's coming out, and he's killing all these people. And it's crazy. People are running around in circles. My dad's trying to push this old lady in a wheelchair, and I like kicked
this
over the
This is a real
apocalyptic
wheelchair. Scene you got going on here. But even in that, your dad is still trying to help someone.
I kicked her wheelchair over, and I was like, Dad, come on, let's go. And he was like running next to me.
Not only did you just remove him from the wheelchair, you kicked her over.
Yes.
You could have said, let her go, Dad. We got to get out of here.
He wouldn't let her go.
You actively kicked her over.
He wouldn't let her go. He's like, I can't. I got to save her. I'm like, she's like 100. I was so mad at him, and I like kicked the wheelchair, and I like made him run with
me. People got to die sometime, Dad.
Come on. So the robot, he told everybody, he was like, stop, like that. And then he goes to open his mouth again, and everybody's like confused. And when he goes to open his mouth, the thing that comes out... It's hot nuts.
Yeah!
And he starts singing Hot Nuts. And then everybody is so, like I said, hundreds of thousands of people transfixed, and everyone starts singing Hot Nuts together. Yeah. Everyone is singing Hot Nuts. But for whatever reason, it didn't affect me. I was like,
it's
guys.
It's the new Berea City Anthem.
I was like, guys, stop. He's just tricking you. I'm trying to get everybody to stop singing Hot Nuts in the streets. And they're all, everyone's like fixated, and they're singing yeah, Hot Nuts.
They're being hypnotized.
Yes.
Wow.
And they're all singing Hot Nuts together. But as he's like singing it after the first round, then he starts killing people again with the lightning, but nobody's running because they can't stop singing Hot Nuts.
They're hypnotized by Hot Nuts, and so they're just standing there.
It was like this song, right? But hundreds of thousands of people singing it. So you hear it like echoing, and it's mm-hmm. silent other than masses of people and a giant robot singing this song.
Do you think Sunday at the game you guys could start singing this song and get everybody at the stadium to start singing along with you?
We're
and
on...
that could be like the new Hang On Schloopy.
Maybe.
Hang On Schloopy. Yeah.
But I'll say Schloopy.
Schloopy.
I woke up very confused and very upset that everyone was so concerned and transfixed by singing Hot Nuts that they were all dying. And nobody would listen to me. There's nothing I could do. I could not get these people to stop singing Hot Nuts and keep running.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. So is that where it ended?
I woke up shortly after that, yeah. I don't
Were
really
you
remember.
Drenched in sweat and concerned about... Did you look around? Did you completely run to the window like Ebenezer Scrooge and throw the curtains open?
No.
Or Bob Cratchit?
Anytime I have a dream that my dad's in, it kind of makes me feel weird the next day. But it was... I think it was more telling of me that in a crisis situation, I'm willing to kick over old people. And
yeah, your dreams. Yes. Your dreams tell you more about yourself than you might know.
Right.
Your subconscious.
So I don't
and sometimes
know.
It's not always boner related.
I'll have to keep away from my friend that you met yesterday, Alan.
What?
He's
his
a wheelchair
friend? But he's not 100. She was so old.
I feel like you would just be like, yeah, we're close enough.
No, I was just so mad. I was mad at my dad for wasting his time on an old lady. Because I was like, dude, you might die. And you're just trying to help this old lady, but she's going to die anyway.
You've got to make split-second decisions.
Right.
It's called rationing care.
Right.
And that's what you were doing for your dad. Right. It's so where dreams imitate reality. Let that old woman go.
You need to go. And he was skinny in my dream, too. He was, like, running, and he had no problem running and pushing his wheelchair. But So if we come to an apocalyptic type of situation where Blue Iron Man
with a
is
robot
singing
and
Hot
Nuts
to everybody.
Right.
I don't want to say I predicted it, but
Mary will know precisely what to do in that horrific situation.
Right here in this neighborhood. The legend started.
Uh-huh.
Was it like that? Was it through the air and slowed down? And,
yes. You know. It was like completely silent except for the sound of everyone, masses of people singing Hot Nuts.
Alan, Mary practically murdered an innocent old lady in her dream. We don't know anything about this woman's guilt or innocence. She could have been a terrible person. You might have done a huge favor to the community of Berea, Ohio, by kicking this woman over. We don't know anything in Mary's dream that attests to this woman's guilt or innocence.
Other than, for whatever reason, my dad was very attached to her. It wasn't my grandma. So it was just,
she's just
some
an old
lady.
Woman, yeah.
Yeah.
Your dad was just trying to be a hero, just trying to... I mean, he probably wasn't even trying to be a hero for hero's sake, but he just thought, this is what you do. You try to help other people.
I guess.
Maybe in your dream, the old woman in the wheelchair was your father's mortality.
And he's holding on to it?
In your mind, it was your father trying to... try to hang on to his life.
And I kicked it over.
And you kicked it over.
That's also a thing. Like, it's one thing to be like, hey, leave her behind. But you said, I'm going to kick her over.
Because he wouldn't let go of it. I was screaming at him and he would not let go of it. So I kicked the wheelchair out of his hands. Mm. And I was like, come on, leave her. Let's go.
A texter says, Mary, let people have their thing. Also, Mary, men over 40 shouldn't skateboard.
Okay, I rescinded that months
did you?
Ago. When I said, yeah, when I was like, whatever, do whatever makes you happy.
Yeah, she's out there screaming at trees like Mark Lanigan. I don't know. that makes sense that she would retract that.
Whatever.
Hmm.
So, weird night for me.
It was a weird night for you. elapsed time? Do you know what it was? Like any sense of how long it was? You know how dreams can feel very long or very short, and then you wake up and
it felt short.
Yeah.
Like the amount of time in the dream was probably a half hour, 20 minutes. Mm. Like where it was like, oh, the fireworks, we saw the tail end of the fireworks ended, and then as everyone was walking out, that part all happened pretty quick, and then everyone stopped for a minute and a half or 2 minutes, and I'm like, guys, what are you? Stop singing this stupid song.
Did the old woman in the wheelchair, was she visibly concerned?
No. Now that I think about it, no, she wasn't terrified.
I would think that the strange thing in a dream like that would be to look around and see one person just standing there not freaking out at all.
Right?
Yeah.
She, from what I remember, I can't really make out her face, but she wasn't like screaming or freaking out. She was just kind of like riding in a wheelchair.
Hmm. But she had to be someone. Did you see her face?
I can't really remember who it was, but okay. I remember in the dream not knowing who she was and being mad at my dad for risking his life for someone I didn't know.
Gotcha.
Where I was like, you don't even know this lady.
Dad, either introduce me.
Right.
Or we've got to get out of here.
Tip her over.
Very silly. Because they say that your brain does not construct faces in dreams. It can't conjure someone you haven't seen. So every face you see in dreams is someone you know, or an amalgam thereof, right? Mm-hmm. So maybe this old woman was something.
I don't know.
And now you'll never know, because she's gone, your dad's gone, mm-hmm. in the dream and in real life.
Yeah.
Blue Iron Man wins again.
Blue Iron Man. Everyone was so...
Pepper Potts come sliding in after the fireworks.
I just like the idea of a villain who uses hot nuts to his advantage.
yeah, or her advantage.
Or her, you're
yeah,
right.
It could have been a female on that, according to Bill. That's Pepper gender. Potts, yeah.
So it's a lot. She said it's also a robot, so it's not even, it's just a thing.
Yeah.
Oh, it was an automaton. This wasn't like a person in a suit.
No, it was huge.
Okay. Like the Iron Giant.
Sure. Yeah. Godzilla, but a robot with a blue face.
Yeah, Godzilla! Yeah, all right.
Sounds more like Voltron.
I hate him.
Well, okay, there you go. That is episode one of a new segment, Mary's Hot Wet Dreams, here on the Encore Show. So, thank you for that.
Electrifying.
Appreciate it. Yep.
Welcome.
I'll tell you what, something that's going to give other people nightmares. I've been hearing from some of our bureau chiefs, not only in the D.C., Baltimore area, but also I've heard from people who live in and around Philadelphia. There is a Lunchables shortage.
Oh, no. What?
Oh, no, this cannot be.
Well, we don't live in D.C. or Philly that I know of, so maybe it won't. You could be right. It starts there.
What, bitch?
As D.C. goes, so goes the rest of the country. There is a severe Lunchables shortage in grocery stores.
What kind, though? That matters.
What kind? How many kinds are there?
Well, there's the cracker ones. Which
all
I
of them. Kraft Foods has a severe Lunchables shortage.
We can't let
That's shocking to me. Because
so people are seeing empty shelves.
I'm shocked because... I didn't think there was enough actual food in those for there to ever be a shortage.
Oh, yeah. I thought they were, like, cutting them out of yoga mats.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
I love Lunchables. Still,
too.
As an adult, like, oh, you know, I'm about to get one after work today.
They're, like, a go-to when I'm on the road. If I go to, a gas station or something and I'm super hungry.
But not
I'm
the
like,
cracker. Yeah. Not the cheese and crackers. You got to get, like, the actual Lunchable or you get the deep dish.
But what's the appeal of that? To have, like, a fake
good.
Plastic pizza.
Something and on the fly for me, at least.
Yeah, but there are, if you're on the road... It stands to reason there are a billion other things you could get.
You could, but if I'm like already at the gas station and I'm filling up and I'm like, I'll just grab a Lunchable.
Wow, I've never had one.
Oh, you need to get one.
Well, you don't really like lunch meat, though, do you?
No.
Don't get the lunch meat one.
What, am I get the fake plastic pizza?
The pizza's pretty good, too.
Oh, God.
They have tacos, too.
Any food that doesn't need to be refrigerated makes me extraordinarily nervous.
There's not a chance that Alan would enjoy any single one of the Lunchables.
No.
I don't mind crackers. Aren't there crackers in
there
these?
There are crackers. You can get a wet ham disc and put it on a cracker.
A wet ham disc.
With a piece of very sticky American cheese on top.
Oh, God, American cheese. That's all plastic, too.
And it comes with a small little crunch bar.
Dozens of types of meal kits with or without a Capri Sun are now available, including pizza kebabble, pepperoni kebabs, and chicken dunks. Chicken Dunks chicken nuggets. Oh, yeah, that sounds pretty. This is what we're shoving into children's mouths.
Oh, my gosh. You're
so what
good,
a great
though.
Plan.
Well,
are they?
And they're like 10
nothing
for,
about that sounds tasty.
They're like 10 for 10. So with kids going back to school and stuff,
no,
and
I get
just
it.
Grab
that's,
a bunch and throw it in their lunch
that's
bag.
Why Kraft says they're like, we are seeing double-digit growth for the first time in 5 years. So I guess Lunchables probably kind of plateaued for a while, or people forgot about them, and then kids go back to school, and they're like, oh, my God, we've got to get Lunchables.
There was nothing that made my day happier than having a Lunchable with a Butterfinger in it and a Sunny D. Like, I didn't want
that. That was all included? Like, that your Butterfinger was the, it contained a sweet, it, and there was the Butterfinger?
It gets you a little treat, and
wow.
You could either have, like, a Capri Sun, or they would include maybe their version of a Sunny D, or maybe it would actually be Sunny D. But, oh, I was the king of the lunchroom. King of the lunchroom.
But I would probably stand to reason a lot of your peers also had the same lunch.
No, they would have like the cracker ones or the plain little cheese or not the cheese.
The wet ham discs?
No, because I would get the deep dish, like the big square pieces. You know what I'm talking about, Mary?
No, I never had that. I just had the regular.
See, that's the thing. Everyone would have the regulars like Mary. And there's the ones where you can like smear the pizza sauce onto like a cracker. And that was like the crust. But I had the deep dish where it was a big square.
Pizza sauce on a cracker is how you make the pizza?
It's not
and
a cracker.
That's what they're good.
That's what he
that's
said.
That's what made things
I'm
good.
Using his words.
That's what it looks like.
It looks like a cracker, but it's not a cracker.
It's like a tortilla.
It's like a almost like a
oh,
pita.
This is all almost. Sounding manja. Magnifique. Anywho, Lunchable. So, Pound Cake, you better go stock up.
I am.
We're glad you called us for information about masturbation. It's a subject many people feel uncomfortable with and don't talk about.
Call the Alan Cox Show. 216-578-1007 or 1-800-348-1007.
Got some Zeppelin going out to Mark from Dolly. How do you like that one? 35192, what a text. The Buzzard. Robert Plant, Jimmy Page, the other guy, John Bonham. Who, John Paul Jones? That was a bass player. To chase a feather in the yeah, that was a good song. Within the glow that weaves a cloak of light. Who is this, Poundcake?
He's on the phone.
Oh, I was going to say. See if he's really him. Off the brand new album, In Through the Outdoor. Because it's 1979 right now. I'm a buzzer. By the way, I'm hearing from everyone who works in Northeast Ohio grocery stores or food service, and they said there are no Lunchables to be found anywhere.
Oh, wow.
So it's not just... Alan, I work in the meat department. We haven't seen a shipment of Lunchables in weeks. Why would someone who works in the meat department be dealing with Lunchables?
Meeting them.
Not really. I mean... Meat-ish, yeah. I guess. Yeah.
Also, I would like to credit Brendan Ayer, who is a local comedian with the Wet Meat Disc. He has a bit about Lunchables. And when I was in the break, I was like, did I come up with that fast? And I was like, no, that's a Brendan Ayer joke.
You said wet ham disc.
Well, yeah, his refers to a wet meat disc. He uses that exact phrase, and I just said wet ham disc. So, not that clever. Just want to let everybody know.
Mary's
like
wearing
fraud.
The hair shirt on the show. I don't care.
Well,
I care. I'm doing this show. I'm not doing somebody else's show.
Yeah.
Okay. That's
I wouldn't.
Well, I figured we'd come back, like, you know, if he wanted to play it, come back for a break. And then, like, I know you would figure that out.
Right. That's what I was like, I think.
I was going to call you out on air and be like, you're still Brendan Ayer's bit.
Yeah.
Call you out on Brendan Ayer. I'm doing this show. I don't care what anybody else is doing.
Right. Hmm.
If you want to throw out wet ham disc, it's fine with me. What do I know? Meat department stocks of Lunchables. Yes, I inferred from your comment, but my... Just saying, okay, well, there you go. By the way, Pennsylvania, for our listeners there, Pennsylvania is already starting to ration their liquor. So it's already hard enough to get liquor in Pennsylvania because it's a commonwealth. When I lived there, you had to go to a beer distributor if you wanted beer. You had to go to a state store if you want booze. You can't get any, you got to buy a sixer from a bar. I've been gone for a long time, so some of that has changed. I know when I was leaving in 06, they were just starting to dip their toe into, hey, maybe we should sell beer at the grocery store. So they had to be dragged kicking and screaming into the 20th century. But Pennsylvania is going to be rationing sales on a few dozen products. that you'll have to, you'll be limited to 2 bottles a day. So if you are a serious alcoholic in the state of Pennsylvania, you're going to need to start to plan ahead. And I'll defer to Mary on this topic. Mm-hmm. It's probably true that serious alcoholics are really good at planning ahead.
Yes, they plan for this already. They have a bunker, have a cellar.
Serious alcoholics are usually broke. So it's kind of hard to plan ahead. You got to shift some money around.
Well, then don't worry about buying 2 bottles a day, because I guess you can still steal as many as you can carry.
Yeah, as many as fit in your pants.
But the Pennsylvania Liquor Control Board has listed 43 items. They're going to be rationed, everything from certain types of champagne to tequila to cognac to whiskey.
God, I love champagne.
Until the supply chains become more reliable.
There's going to be a big boom in moonshine and people going blind.
Making it themselves in their bathtubs.
Why do people bathtub go blind? Gin. Because who knows what they're putting in that shine? It's equal parts rubbing alcohol and, you know.
Oh, I didn't know. I thought moonshine was illegal because they want you to buy it from the store.
No, it's because
the moonshine store.
Like, it doesn't go through any kind of a an approved process if you're doing it at home.
Bootleg, maybe.
Yeah.
I'm a bootlegger. Yeah, it's just,
how big of an offense is that? Like, if you get caught making moonshine, what do you get?
I don't know. I have a buddy that makes moonshine pretty regularly, and he makes all sorts of different flavors, and I don't think he's ever been caught.
I've been
to... But he also is into NASCAR, so he knows how to stay away from the cops.
He's like, they took all my Applejack! Yeah.
Any middle-of-nowhere gig I've gone to, there's always someone offering me moonshine afterward. They're like, I made apple pie moonshine. It's in my trunk. And they always just pass around a mason jar.
Yep.
So lots of people
Here's
are making...
Here's a bottle of sour mash. Right. Good luck.
Yeah, lots of people are making it.
Let's see what happens.
Wow.
Yep. Maybe you could get in the moonshine business, Poundcake.
Seems like a lot of work. Got to be on
the best things always are.
Got to be like on.
That's
the...
something that you'll probably figure out sooner or later. The best things are always require a lot of work.
He's not a guy that likes a lot of work.
You're not a paperwork guy. I'm not a work guy.
He's not any work guy.
But I don't know. I mean, I just. Again, I'm not good at committing crimes. Like, I feel like I would snitch on myself.
But you don't know.
Like, I didn't make any moonshine. What you talking about? Ain't nothing in this car.
You don't know how good you are at committing crimes.
Make yourself sign an NDA. That seems to be ironclad in your...
I sue myself.
Your world.
Sue me. Mm-hmm. Okay. Is there strawberry moonshine?
I'm sure there is.
You can
is.
Do pretty much any flavor if you want to. I can ask my buddy. He probably has some strawberry moonshine.
Yeah, Bill's got a shine hookup. Yeah, you can talk to this guy.
I got a shine guy.
Yeah.
I got a shine guy.
Yeah. Alan is at the Walmart in Medina today. Lunchables as far as the eye can see. All right, now.
Ooh, head to Medina.
There you go, Poundcake. You know where to go. Boy, everything great comes out of Medina, doesn't it? Bill Squire.
Lunchables. Lunchable availability.
Lunchable ability. Yeah.
Lunchability.
Lunchability.
It's good to be Bill Squire. It always feels right when he's in the spotlight.
You know, Mary Santorum called the show on Friday when you were gone in St. Louis.
She did.
Yeah, she'll usually take the opportunity to kind of sidestep. And I don't know if it's just because she doesn't want to step on your toes or because she feels more liberated to be her true self on the show when you're not here.
Uh-huh.
Because she probably feels intimidated by you.
I would assume.
As a much more successful comedian than she.
Her past 2 calls have been when I'm not here.
Right.
It seems.
Like she's avoiding you.
Right.
It seems almost as though she's trying to do it when you're not around. Alan, there's a fireball shortage, too. So those little airplane bottles you've got, they might be worth something.
Oh, sell them. Put them on eBay.
Ooh, I should do that, shouldn't I?
We just talked about the fireball.
Talked about the what?
The fireball, like... keg that they're coming
out. Yeah, the keg.
How is there a shortage if they're releasing a keg?
That's probably why.
Yeah.
Oh, they just took all the bottles and poured it into the keg.
Yeah.
And they go, here you go. All right, well, we'll figure it out.
A little short-sighted.
Yeah, I went out to the flats for the first time in, like, I don't know how long on Friday. And I actually got drunk, and I went to Thirsty Dog, and I had a great time.
Why is that surprising?
Because I just...
Oh, good for you!
I don't leave my house. And my friend's husband was at, like, a Primus tribute concert at, like, Nautica.
I think that was Primus.
It was Primus playing Rush.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. But, like, it was just weird to see people out, like, the Bros. I'm like, oh wow, the Bros are back.
No, the Bros never left.
Bros have been
the
out.
The Bros have been out.
Are always out.
The Bros came out April 12th of last year. they're like, we're just gonna walk around and drink. The Bros never went away. Yeah. That's not the people that were worried about the virus.
No,
but there was. I mean, I had a crazy busy weekend, but going to that Browns game was so much fun. It was so just good to be down there, and like, it really was a situation where everybody's like, hey, we're all just gonna have a good time, except for the Muni Lot dudes that got into a fight. But everywhere I went, it was just like good spirits everywhere.
And the energy of it, where you like, we were talking a little bit before the show, where I was like, even watching the game and listening to everybody, I was like, man, I miss that. I can't wait to go next week.
Well, the coolest thing was pregame when everyone's doing the here we go Brownies chant, and you hear the echo of the hoo, hoo, like through the entire stadium is like nothing else. Like that was a great moment. But what's even better than that is the song they played before the Browns came onto the field. Or no, it was right before kickoff. Like right before kickoff, they're out, they're lined up, they're ready to kick the ball, and they're getting the crowd hyped up to a little Coheed and Cambria.
No.
Yes.
Welcome Home, the beginning part of that.
Shoulders, their new song.
Oh. Look at that.
Yeah, so I was like, nobody else knows this song.
Is that like the best day ever for you? Yeah, I was like, I'm at the Browns game
and they're playing Coheed. This feels tailor-made for me.
Did they do the national
Bill's looking around to see if anybody else bobbed their just head. Nobody bobbing their head.
Yeah.
That's like when I saw John Mayer, or I saw Zach Brown Band cover John Mayer, and I was like, this is the best day of my life. My favorite band is covering my favorite artist.
Well, because I think 85% of any Zach Brown Band shows covers.
Not 85%.
Oh, they sure do a lot of covers.
It's a lot.
Boy, do they do a lot of covers.
Yeah.
Hey, guys, here's another song you might know from somebody else.
All right. Yeah. Zach Brown Band is really good.
And I'm glad that the Browns won yesterday.
They're not, but boy, do they do a lot of covers.
It would have been an ugly scene otherwise. Because there were so many people. I didn't even get out of downtown until about 7 o'clock because I was not going to wait around.
Wait a minute, you sat in
traffic. I went to Hilarity's, popped in there. My buddy, he's from Medina, and so he took the Rapid. So I went with him, dropped him off at the Rapid, and then went down to the Flats.
You're waiting for the traffic to loosen up.
Yes. By the time I could have left a little earlier, but there was friends down in the Flats. So I'm like, I'm going to go down there. I saw Mattitude, him moving on, being an influencer for McDonald's now.
Yep.
And then
I thought I was going to cross paths. I saw his name on the DJ list for the Ivy, but I think he was there at night and I was there in the morning.
Those dudes were just moving around all day. Yeah. Him and Members Only Dave.
Mattitude. Yeah, we ran into him when we were talking out on the patio there. Mattitude is a McDonald's influencer?
On his Instagram.
Good for him. Yeah. Really? Was he like talking, hey, this Big Mac's good?
Something like that. I think
does McDonald's need people to influence? I mean, their sign says billions served. I feel like people got the note.
They always have. They got to keep you coming back, though.
That's good.
That's how they keep you coming back, is by having a handsome guy like Mattitude tell you to go get some McDonald's.
He's a hamburger influencer.
It didn't work on me. I'm a Wendy's guy.
It didn't work on you.
Nice try, Mattitude.
Yeah, there was a bidding war between all the fast food chains for Bill Squire.
Mm-hmm.
And Wendy's won, so Mattitude. Well, I got to get on his thing and check that out.
It's funny to see Members Only Dave and Mattitude are basically the DJs in this city. Yep. So, like, one of them will do one gig while the other one's going to do the other, and then they, like, switch. So they're working the same four bars.
Well, there are a lot of DJs in this city. It's just like the guys that I used to work with, you know, because obviously we weren't down there last season. So now I'm getting to know this, like, new crop of dudes. And I always feel weird because I'm the radio guy, and they're like, I mean, they're always nice, but I just feel weird. I feel like the old radio guy.
You are the old radio guy.
I know, but I don't want to feel like that.
I know, but you are. So that's how you feel.
Teach
those youngins how to hit the post. They'll be happy.
There's no post hitting. I'm just telling people what's up, you know? Listen, I've made it very clear I'm only into sports for the names. Ryan is one of he's our bureau chief in Williamsburg, Virginia. And he got me hip to General Booty, General Booty, who plays for Tyler Junior College. He's a quarterback. and he was named Division I Offensive Player of the Week. This guy, again, that's a great name. I don't know what's in store for this guy, but his name is General. He's a quarterback, General Booty, B-O-O-T-Y. And I guess he's setting the college world on fire. But thank you, Ryan, for sending
that's
me
that. That's a great name, General Booty.
General Booty.
Just naming your kid General in general is pretty badass.
Well, it's like the guy that plays on the Crushers named General MacArthur. I'm like, boy, that's that is a great, great name. I like to see the name General blowing up like that.
Yeah, you're starting your kid off with Stolen Valor.
Right. Well, I always assume that those are nicknames, so I googled General Booty, and they're like, no, that's his real name. I'm like, okay, well, I like the cut of his jib.
Spelled,
you know?
He spelled General with a J for a girl.
Oh, so she can go by Jen?
Jennifer Old Booty?
Yeah.
Yeah, this guy's apparently a third-generation name in football.
He's the General Booty the Third?
His name is General Axel Booty. Yeah, that's his full name.
That's a crazy awesome name.
Yeah. So I guess he's, again, I didn't really dig too deeply into what this guy's doing or where he's going or whatever.
He's player of the week.
Yeah, his father had a fascination. He said his father had a fascination with the Army growing up, which I thought was a weird way to put it. Like, my dad wasn't a veteran or anything. He just had a fascination with the Army. Watch a lot of G.I. Joe cartoons. And he said that that's why he named his son General. It's a lot of pressure, though.
Does he also
if you've got a name like that, yeah. General, that's a lot of... And Booty, it's double pressure. And your middle name's Axel, so you got to know something about cars. You know, he said that everybody was going to call him by his middle name, but when you name your kid General, who's going to not call you that?
I don't know. It's one of those things where he's lucky the kid didn't end up being a porn star, because that's a pretty good
General
porn star
Booty,
name.
Yeah, for sure. Even Axel Booty, yeah. If he went by his middle
Axel
name.
Axel Booty. Well, his father played for the Browns. You remember a guy named Abram Booty? He was a wide receiver at LSU, and he had a brief stint with the Browns.
When was that?
Don't know.
I don't remember him.
But this guy's gone to a bunch of different high schools. I guess they've moved around. Thanks for getting me hip to that, because I would not have seen that person otherwise. I'm not on the junior college game day stats websites. You know?
Well, why not, Alan?
Well,
do you even care, honestly?
Yes. There's a guy named Josh Booty.
Who, heard that.
Oh, maybe this is him. Josh Booty? Josh Booty. Played for the Browns from 2001 to 2003. And, keep an eye on this kid, okay? I think you'd like the look of him. He's kind of got that dumb corn pone look to him.
What does that mean?
He's got that Hitler Youth vibe that you kind of get into sometimes. Anytime you talk about somebody like that, Madison Cawthorn, that kind of dumb look on his face. But
ooh, the Wiltshire Hot.
This is what I'm talking about.
Wiltshire Hot.
He is Wiltshire Hot.
That's fine.
How do you spell the last name again?
B O O T Y.
I'm just making sure. Sometimes
it's... I am Budee. You never know.
And now it's Booty.
What makes someone wheelchair hot?
They're in a wheelchair and they're hot.
Someone, yeah, like there's a different level, because like there's regular hot, like you and me who are able bodied, and you're like, wow, like I'm hot for Ohio. I'm hot for a radio, whatever. But then when you go into like the disability realm, it's a whole nother rung.
The disability realm.
Yeah. So, like,
you might want to put it a different way, a whole nother rung.
But, like, there was a guy I mentioned in college where I'm like, wow, I would date him even if he wasn't in a wheelchair. Like, he's fantastic.
But you wouldn't date anyone in a wheelchair.
I might make an exception for this dude. He was gorgeous. It almost seemed like he was too beautiful to be able-bodied, because it would just be unfair. Like, he would just clean up. So I'm like, can I push you? Like, can I push you in your wheelchair? Can I carry your books?
You mean that the universe paralyzed him as a way of making it...
Even for everybody
else? Even for other guys?
He was beautiful.
Wow.
So I'm like, you know, everything happens for a reason. Like, if you would just be cleaning up if you were able-bodied. So I just...
I'm sure he's doing fine anyway.
Well, he is. And I had a crush on him. And so this Madison Cawthorn guy, I put him in that same, you know, category.
Cody lifts him out of the chair into the bed and smells it. Takes a big deep breath of the seat.
Oh, this thing.
So what's a booty call?
I figured you didn't want me telling him. Was I wrong?
Jacob, it means the Candy came by to do her laundry.
I don't see any laundry.
Good point, Charlie. Anyway, in order to warn people who were swimming that, you know, the naked cowboy was on his way, he would yell, or if you will, call, booty! Booty! Ergo the booty call.
This is that new kind of low-key FM radio sound, kind of subdued, relaxed radio. Go something like this.
The Alan Cox Show.
On 100.7
WMMS.
Indians tickets for you in about 1 hour today, tomorrow, and Wednesday. And we'll have a pair each day for the very last home game of the Cleveland Indians era. It's going to happen on Sunday against the White Sox. So 4:20 today, tomorrow, and Wednesday. Be listening for those tickets. They're doing a doubleheader today against the Royals. That first pitch this afternoon at 4:10. And then the second one will start, obviously, later on tonight after we are out of here. I'm not sure how that's going to time out, but you will hear that second game here on WMMS. And then they will go on to that final homestand against the Indians, against the White Sox, before finishing the Indians era proper with the road series in Texas against the Rangers. So a week from Sunday is going to be the last one there. But they're playing a beautiful day for a ball game. Let's play two at Progressive Field, downtown Cleveland, Ohio, with your Cleveland Indians, their future FM home of Cleveland Guardians. They made a big deal, too, about how Tito is going to stick around for the Guardians era. And I wasn't aware that that was in question.
I think
he's in the middle of a contract.
Health, yeah, but I think his health is...
Is that what it was?
Maybe. Or maybe... Yeah,
I thought the prognosis was pretty good for him. I mean,
Hopefully. I mean, he's missed time for his health the past few seasons, so I feel like as long as he can do it, he can. But I don't know if he'll actually be able to come back.
Do you think there's something he's not telling us? His adoring public. You think so?
Yeah. Mm. A lot of things.
All right.
He eats beans straight out of the can. That's what I heard.
He eats beans straight out the can.
It's one of the things he's not telling us.
Oh, I see. All right. Well, it's funny because I got a lot of messages from people kind of picking my brain about the Norm MacDonald thing. And people are really seizing on the fact that he didn't tell anyone that he was sick. Now, I would assume that he told his son. But he, from what I've heard, didn't tell anyone else. He didn't tell his close comedian friends. He didn't tell, I don't know what kind of confidants he had. I would assume that other comedians are the people that he spends most of the time with. And no, everyone was equally shocked. It's not like he told Spade. It's not like he told Bill Burr. It's not like he told Jerry Seinfeld. You know, to a person, they say, Norm didn't tell anybody. And people are so surprised by that.
The thing is, though, if he had told people, would we have even believed him? Because it's hard to tell when he was joking and when he was serious. Because he does this whole bit about how he's a very closeted homosexual man. And then
on Larry King.
On Larry King. He did it on a few different shows. And then when they bring it up, he goes, oh, I'm straight.
Well, no, the beauty of the bit on Larry King was the clip that I saw was that the circular logic of it prevents him
from
coming out and acknowledging it. But Larry King's like, but that means that you're gay. And he goes, I'm deeply closeted. I would never come out and say I was gay. I'm trying to keep that to myself. Just confusing Larry King. And
it's very funny.
Yeah, if you haven't seen Norm MacDonald, Larry King, basically just spend an afternoon not this afternoon, of course. Let me rephrase.
Like a Saturday.
Spend a Saturday watching Norm MacDonald clips. But it is interesting to me because we are, it's no shock to anyone, but we are very much in a culture now where people are flabbergasted that somebody would keep something to themselves. People go, what do you mean he didn't share every last bit of minutia about his life with the public? He's an older guy too, so it's not, you know, not really his vibe, but you know, there are people who, you know, put everything online. How can it possibly be? They didn't tell people. How could people know him if he didn't drain every last bit of mind-numbing detail out of his existence? So I thought that was interesting. That to me was a sign of the times, that people were so surprised that he kept it to himself.
I was. I mean, I was one of those people who was like...
But over the years, he's referred to people who got sick and kept it to themselves and, you know...
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah. But there are some... I imagine that there are some people who it's unfathomable to them. That they would not... It's inconceivable to you that you would not share that news publicly?
Yeah, to be honest with you. Because I am not someone who masks feelings well. I'm not... It is very difficult for me to act like everything's okay if it's not. No matter what I'm feeling. If I'm sad, if I'm happy, if anything like that, I don't have a great poker face. So for me, it would be one of those things where I don't think I could physically... Even if I tried, I don't think it would last very long.
Well, you would tell family or you would publicly say it?
I would tell family first, but if it started to get to the point where I was looking different, you know,
maybe
what
Norm
I mean?
Norm never looked different.
Right, but if it got to the point where it was like, oh, this is, I'm going to die, I'd probably tell everybody, to be honest with you.
Huh. I wouldn't.
I can't do that.
If I get sick, you guys will know.
Why would you want to battle that and deal with all that on your own?
I mean, I would tell my wife.
Right, but okay, here's the thing to posting it publicly.
What are we going to do?
What? Yeah.
Hold on,
what
hold
precisely
on.
Is the public going
to
do?
I've been doing a lot of research. Okay. I was looking up the...
Mr. YouTube doctor over here wants to pull teeth. You can't find something. No, but
let
like...
Let me get on Facebook and do some medical research.
Being, and again, this isn't cancer or anything like that, but sharing grief and like mental health issues and anxiety and stuff like that so publicly helped me when other people are like, hey, I've been there. I know exactly what you're going through. These are things that helped me someday. You know what I mean? Like just knowing that there's a group of people out there who understand exactly what you're going through and they've done it themselves.
I mean, everybody dies alone, so nobody really knows what you're going through.
I get what you're saying, but if you get diagnosed with pancreatic cancer and you post about it and people are like, hey, I had pancreatic cancer, or I have it too, I know what you're... It just feels nice to have, like, to feel like you're not alone.
I feel like that's different for different people because that's not something, like, that I want to share with people.
When my
when I have mental health problems and stuff like that, I'll bring it up on the show, but I don't want... other people to like I don't feel a sense of comfort by strangers being like, oh yeah, I've got, like I appreciate their support, but it's not something I want to put out there publicly.
Because Norm's point was, then you become that person, then you become that person that everybody's treating differently because of that, then you become that, and it just becomes, to some degree, becomes a self-aggrandizing thing. When I had my colonoscopy, I was waiting for the results and it came back clean. I mentioned that. But if they had found something serious, I wouldn't have mentioned it.
I guess I couldn't. And I'm very different than you two when it comes to dealing with emotional situations, obviously. I mean,
I don't think we're that different.
I've got to hold the record for amount of cries on air for probably any radio host ever, to be honest with you.
Oh, I don't know about that. You'd be way behind on some other people.
But for me, I don't think I could... live every day keeping secrets. I feel like I'd be lying to people.
But you're not.
But
you're
you
not,
are.
No, you're
with
not.
Withholding information is lying.
No, that's you're nice. Not obliged to give anybody any information about your life. We tell people what we want them to know and what we're comfortable with them knowing. If you wanted to tell them, that would be 100% your choice, but you're not obliged to inform
not
the public.
Obliged.
Withholding information is not a lie.
Yes, it is.
When it doesn't affect them. So, like, if I know something that I'm not telling you on purpose that affects both of us, that, you know, or, like, you're in a relationship and you're withholding something from your significant other, that is more in the realm of a lie. But to just hold into information that is yours and your private information.
If you don't share that with your family, I feel like that's lying to them. And you're going to blindside them when
family's
you die?
Different. Family's different. I'm just different. Talking about the public because yeah. we're public people. I'm just talking about the public.
Okay, but
some people feel they can't fathom not sharing that kind of information with the public, whether it's their 35 followers or whether it's their 4 million followers or whatever, or if it's here, right? There's a lot of things about our respective lives that we haven't divulged publicly. Really?
Not really.
You're
to
an
be
open
honest
book?
With you. There's some like really deep-seated awful things that have happened in my past that I don't really talk about outside of like therapy that sure, I guess a couple count on one hand people that know that kind of stuff about me, but when it comes to like and I guess maybe
just
that would fall in
stuff.
That conversation. Yeah. The things that have come up in therapy over the years, like those kind of stuff, I guess that those are things that I keep more private.
But
you're just lying.
The segments, I would hear when the segments from years ago that I would hear Norm talk about hypothetically, you know, when people are sick, he's like, it doesn't make you special.
It doesn't, but it makes you feel like you're not alone.
But you know you're not alone. You know that other people have had whatever
affliction.
But hearing
other people's
stories
helps.
Really?
For me.
Yeah, okay.
When my dad died and I shared that with everybody and I was very open about his whole entire journey with COVID and everything like that, albeit a short one, there were people who reaching out to me that were doctors or nurses or other people who have lost ones, loved ones to COVID. It just made me feel, it made me feel comforted.
Understandable. I'm just saying COVID to me is something that no one had ever dealt with before. So that's a whole other thing. But like, you know, people have cancer or,
yeah,
you know, I mean,
I have a friend of mine who had breast cancer and she actually passed. But like just her journey, she shared it at first. And then she was just like, you know, I'm going to beat this. And it gave so many people so much courage. And she had such a huge support system behind her. Like they were raising money for her and, you know, doing all these charities. And she was just keeping everyone abreast of her journey.
Good pun.
I know. But she ultimately lost her battle. But I mean, it just that seeing the fight in her to the very end just gives me courage, and it honestly just helps me with my life, because it's like you have really nothing to be upset about. You can never be upset about anything ever again. Because
yeah.
she
But that also goes back to what Norm MacDonald says, where if you're they're saying you're fighting cancer and you die, then they go, oh, didn't fight hard enough. Wasn't fighting.
No.
That's his perspective
right,
on it.
Right.
Yeah, I don't agree with that because you can't control what the cancer is doing.
Right, or how your body responds.
Right, but that's what but that's kind of the whole thing. Like there's some people like, "Oh, I beat cancer," and then you have the person that didn't beat cancer and you're like, "Oh, I guess that person wasn't strong enough because they couldn't beat cancer." And so I get that analogy absolutely.
But people like get cancer, they beat it and then it comes back.
Mm-hmm.
And then like these people that have beat breast cancer 2-3 times, I'm like, "I just how does your body still..."
And there's no right way or wrong way to do it. I don't think that's... For Norm, he was just saying, for him, it was something incredibly private.
He didn't want people
to want anybody to know.
Yeah.
And there is nothing wrong with that. But if you want to do... I mean, if you get cancer and you want to tell the world and you know, want to be an inspiration, that's absolutely...
Chadwick Boseman.
Okay,
I don't know if I would tell the world, but I'm a crybaby, so I'd probably tell my mom. I tell my mom everything. I'm like,
Mom, family's different.
Yeah, but my family's kind of like a blabbermouth. Like, my mom would be like, oh, I just don't know about Cody. You know, he's going under the knife.
Mom, I have to tell you something, and it's very delicate. How should I put this? There will soon be one fewer person on our phone plan that you pay for.
The only thing, the way that I could see withholding it from people is if you, because you don't want to burden them with it, where you're like, I don't want you to have to worry about me.
I think that's a huge part of it.
But at the same time, I think it's way worse to slap them in the face with
it. I think that's awful, too, because...
But I think you also, in the case of a guy like Norm MacDonald, he doesn't want to be treated any different.
I would! Not like baby me because I have cancer, but if I'm having a bad day, I don't want to have to explain why I'm having a bad day.
But
you know I have
cancer. Norm MacDonald's not a guy that's going to... You're probably not going to tell when he's having a bad day or
not.
That's
true, too.
So, and I get why you would be... But you wear your heart on your sleeve.
You end up with a situation like Robin Williams. I feel like he didn't want to burden everybody because he was getting sick, and then he just, like, offed himself. Like, that's a scenario.
That's what I mean.
Burden free.
Well, no, where it'll, like, it'll eat away at you.
Yeah, because he's like, oh, I'm developing, like, Alzheimer's or dementia or whatever. How is this going to, I don't want to have my wife have to wipe my ass or something like that. I don't want my kids to have to see me like this. I used to be, you know, the number one guy, and now everyone's going
to
see me.
I used to be the guy who wiped his own ass day in, day out. Alan, not telling people is a luxury for the rich. It's poor people need that GoFundMe health insurance. That is a point.
True, too.
That is a point.
That's very true.
Maybe my privilege is showing there. Alan, I had a silent stroke 3 weeks ago, and I have not said anything to anyone because I don't want people worrying about me. What is a silent stroke?
It's where there's people in the room, so you got to do it real quiet.
Oh, like you're on the top bunk.
Yeah,
yeah.
What counts as having a stroke?
Like, I think it's just when there's a. In this case, I assume it means that, like, you couldn't tell. But a stroke is I think, when you have a clot that goes to the brain, right?
I think so.
And some people it kills, and some people it doesn't.
Okay.
And some people it doesn't affect that much, and other people it just really, really affects them.
I think he called it a silent stroke because he didn't tell anybody. I don't think a silent stroke is a medical term. I think he meant, like, I had a stroke and kept it to myself.
Oh, I assume silent stroke was a thing.
Is it?
I had a silent... Yeah, it's a silent stroke.
Oh,
yeah.
What is it?
It is no noticeable symptoms, but it can still do damage to your brain.
Got it.
Right.
I've had a seizure before.
So he's probably, I assume that this person is texting me with their nose. So what are you going to do, right? What are you going to do? Bob Ross didn't tell anybody, somebody said. I don't know how Bob Ross died. I don't know anything about that.
There are messages within the trees.
Is that what it was?
Yeah.
Oh, see, if you look really closely.
Yeah, you got to pay attention.
Yeah.
If my mom got sick, I feel like I would want to know.
That's what I mean.
I need closure. Like, that's the thing. Like, it depends on, like, if she finds out she has stage 4, I already know. Like, you need to tell me now so I can.
Mom, you should have told me 3 stages ago.
No, I need to, like.
How dare you?
I need to process.
And to Cody's point about sharing it publicly and how he got perspective from his girlfriend sharing her battle with breast cancer, I think that that's not a bad thing to give people some perspective every now and then.
I'm not saying any of it's a bad thing. I'm just more... What I've drawn from people's conversations about it is that we are very much in a time where some people cannot conceive of doing something like that privately. Everyone is so kind of defaulted now to sharing all the time, because who cares, right? And so it just blows people's minds that you could have someone, especially, there are people we've never heard of, obviously, who do the exact same thing. But Norm Macdonald was a very well-known guy. Mm-hmm. And for him to just die one day, you know, people are like, oh, was he in a car wreck? What happened, right? And they go, no, he had cancer and didn't tell anybody. That blows people's minds, because it is unusual. But there are also some people that can't even fathom doing that.
And it's also hard to hide. It's hard to hide.
I never saw him look any different.
Well, he also not might really. Not have gone on undergone like radiation or anything.
Right.
Some people refuse to because they.
But for 9 years, I mean, whatever he had.
But some people, I think, go under. They'll do treatment, but it doesn't affect them the same way as other people.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't.
Well, and he has money, so if he started to lose his hair, just get new hair.
Yeah, wig it out.
Right.
Get new hair. You should got dreadlocks. Nor are you okay? Yeah, I'm fine. Hey, you know, I like this hair. Look at that.
Yeah,
look
cool. This is my regular hair.
My regular hair.
It's not a wig.
It's not a cancer wig.
A cancer wig. Yeah.
I wouldn't wear a cancer wig. That's not my thing.
Like Lovitz in Seinfeld.
Mm.
Gary Vogel. He never had cancer. He lied for the parking. He got the wig so he could get the good parking. I've got to... Alan, Mary wanted to share a picture of her poop on Instagram. You did? You put a picture of your poop on Instagram?
No, last week when I was all constipated, I pooped a little nugget, and I was giggling at how small it was, and I put up a poll.
Oh, yeah, you mentioned that.
And I was like, do you guys want to see a picture of how small his poop is? Because it's really, really... It didn't even look like poop. It was so tiny. And I was like, it made me laugh at how small it was. And I put up there, I was like, would you guys unfollow me, essentially, if I posted a picture of this?
Let me guess. Everybody said yes.
It was pretty even.
It was more even.
It was like 65-35, where 35% of the people were like, post that poop.
Wow.
I know. I was
PTP.
Surprised. I was surprised, too.
All right. Yeah, if I'm zipping through people's Instagram stories and I come across Mary Santora's nugget.
Just a tiny little dime.
It's an unfollow. I can't.
But I warned people.
Yeah.
I would say, hey, the next post is
the next slide is going to be my turd.
Our phone operator.
operators are standing by with their thumbs up their asses waiting for you to call. So call.
Call the Alan Cox Show. 216-578-1007 or 1-800-348-1007.
Three 5 1 9 2. Want to send me a text? AlanCoxShow.com if you want to watch live. Thank you to Garrett Houndelson for helping out.
Garrett is amazing.
Not Garrett, Garrett Houndelson for assisting in our video department earlier today.
It's his favorite cheese, Gruyere. Garrett Gruyere. I still can't say that.
Oh, man. I'll Gruyere. Tell you what. Mary Santor, fresh off a weekend in O'Fallon, Missouri.
It was so fun.
Suburban St. Louis. Yeah, I've been to O'Fallon.
So fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, the crowds were great. We just had one show each night, Friday and Saturday. I had a career first over the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
A woman was at the Friday show. Let me start by saying this. My two openers were both very measured and methodic and kind of a little bit low energy. So I started my shows with crowd work each night to kind of get them like amped up.
Mm-hmm.
And the crowds were great. They were laughing, but like they loved the crowd work. It went over phenomenally. So the first like 15 minutes of my set were all pretty much just off the cuff, goofing around, making everybody feel silly. So I had these two women who came to the show Friday night. They loved it so much that they came back with five different people on Saturday night.
That's awesome.
Look at
that felt, really, I've never had
like
that happen
before. That's like the best compliment
before.
You can ever get.
It was wild. Like, yeah. I was standing up there and I like looked and I was doing the crowd work and stuff and I was like, weren't you ladies here last night? And they were like, yeah, we had so much fun. We had to bring them. They were at a whole brand new table. They were at an eight top the night before, came back with five new people. So seven of them the night after, paid for tickets, nothing comp, nothing mm-hmm. like that. They were like, we loved it so much and we knew you messed with the crowd. So it wouldn't be exactly the same show. And yada, yada. So it was such a cool feeling.
Now, did you feel compelled to chat with them after the show?
I wanted to.
Oh, you did?
Yeah. Cause when they said, I was like, oh my God, like that's never happened before. That's like the sweetest thing ever. That's so cool.
Right.
You know, so it was very awesome. Very, very awesome.
Well, there you go. Where are you this Friday?
This Friday, I am in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Did I do it?
Nope. Mary Scona, Pittsburgh. Get downtown to see her. I don't care if are the Steelers in town. Stillers? Are the Stillers in town on Sunday?
It's Friday night at the Iron Horse Theater.
Okay.
Yeah. So it'll be fun. Just
are the Stillers in town on Sunday? They are. Uh-oh. No, wait, they're not.
Perfect.
No.
So
I don't know. I
tailgate.
Can't read this right. Yeah, they are, actually. They're in town.
Oh, dang.
Yeah. Playing the Bengals. Couldn't they just play the Bengals?
No, they have not played it.
Oh, who just beat the Bears? What am I thinking?
The Bears beat the Bengals yeah. And the Raiders beat the Steelers. And that's a nice... That adds to a happy Sunday.
There
Browns
you go.
Browns winning and the Steelers losing.
Yeah, Raiders over the Steelers.
The entire North AFC North division is tied at 1-1.
Right.
Because that Ravens game, the Ravens ended up winning. That was a crazy game, too. These, like Friday, or like the primetime games have all been really good so far this season.
Oh, yeah, they stopped the Chiefs.
Yeah.
Minute 20 left.
Yep.
Yeah.
The Chiefs.
Second down and three.
Ball's out.
Oh, look, ball is out. He lost it.
Ball's out. I like that.
Yeah.
Ball's
yeah.
out. Get your balls out. Ball's out.
Oh, look, ball is out. He lost it. The Ravens all around it. Who has it? Baltimore. Oh, boy.
Al says, oh, boy. I say, oh, way. Here we go. The rookies got it. Holy smokes. What a game. 36-35. That Baltimore win over the Kansas City Chiefs.
Yeah, it was a crazy game.
By the way, condolences to the family of Cleveland Mayor Frank Jackson, whose grandson was shot and killed over the weekend. His grandson was in the news a lot over the past few years because he was always getting into some kind of trouble. He's 24.
Young. I didn't know he was that young.
Yeah, young guy. It sucks. I mean, it's very sad for them. It always, you know, if you're related to somebody who's a public figure like that and you're getting into trouble, it's not like, you know, you got caught stealing a candy bar or something. It's like misdemeanor assault and then there's a murder investigation and all kinds of other things. And, you know, your grandfather's the mayor. And I think he was living with him or something. Oh, wow. So, yeah, he got he was shot and killed over the weekend.
Just after midnight, when speeds had reached more than 100 miles per hour, and that is because Parma police say they were chasing the mayor's grandson. The truly good news here, surprising news really, is that no one was hurt, perhaps the curfew putting fewer people out on the road.
Now, 100 miles an hour.
Wow.
Through Parma.
That's wild.
I mean, I know that happens a lot because when people get into Parma, they want to get out as quickly as they can. Oh, Parma, you know, because we love you. And, oh, my, they want to get in and get...
People were driving 100 miles an hour to Legends on Saturday.
Yes! To Squire! Yeah!
That was last Saturday. It's open now.
An afternooner, right? Right there on day drive. The best of the drives.
Yep. It was a good time, though, the people that came out. A lot of people come up to me saying, balls.
Uh-huh. Well, that's the key word.
Yep.
Yeah.
It was... for Frank Hugh Jackson. Again, Cleveland Mayor Frank Jackson's 24-year-old grandson. It began, really, on Saturday morning in court, where Jackson answered to a judge on a domestic violence charge from December. According to the complaint, Jackson had assaulted the mother of his child by beating her in the head. A warrant was issued on Wednesday for his arrest. Then yesterday, he entered a not guilty plea, paid a $7,500 bond, and left Cleveland court, only to be arrested early this morning. Police say they had pulled Jackson.
Yeah, dude was... just always getting into some trouble. So, I mean, you hate to see this happen for their family, but there's a part of you, too, that's like, this is not going to end well for this dude, given the...
Do you think it was a target, or do you think it just wrong place, wrong time?
Oh, I don't know. I mean, he...
Well, I don't know either, but I want to know...
It's always good to speculate.
He said, do you think? I mean...
Because when you're a public figure, everyone knows this guy's face, so if they just wanted to stick it to somebody...
I don't think it was that kind of situation.
No, I think he had gang affiliations, and this wasn't anything that had anything to do with his grandfather. I mean, people were giving Frank Jackson a hard time all the time because they felt like he was asking the CPD to cut corners for his grandson. I don't know if that's the case either, but, you know, that was the perception of it. And in politics, perception's reality.
That's awful.
So, shooting death of Frank Q. Jackson. So, yeah. And they also think that they found that Gabby Petito.
Wow. Yeah.
Where?
Wyoming Grand Teton National Park.
Yeah.
Was it like I said?
The remains at a campground.
She got stuck in a rock or, like, she's killed?
No. They haven't
said. It doesn't say. The guy went on the lam. Yeah. Like, that's not good.
Yeah.
The good development.
TikTok is, like, solving murders now because all these TikTokers, like, tracked down this vehicle.
TikTok's doing dick.
But I'm just saying, these guys filmed, like, at this location, and they had the van in the background, and they were like, I guess they reached out to their fans or their followers on TikTok. They're like, hey, we think this may be the van. Is it? And all the other TikTokers were like, yes, it is. And
was the FBI already out there?
Nope. They sent
the FBI wasn't in the park where they last saw the girl?
No.
No, they're too busy doing TikTok dances.
TikTok dances. All right, well, then that's good. Good for them.
Earlier today, human remains were discovered. Consistent with the description of Gabrielle Gabby Petito. Oh, full forensic identification has not been completed to confirm 100% that we found Gabby, but her family has been notified of this discovery. The cause of death has not been determined at this time. We appreciate your continued support and patience as we work through this process.
God, these FBI guys always look terrified to be giving a press conference.
Well, like, that's not what they're supposed to do.
Yeah.
No. But I mean, if you're FBI guys, they're probably used to talking to the public. I'm not sure why they always look terrified to do these short press conferences.
I don't think
they're always announcing when somebody's dead.
But it's never the same guy.
They're not like, hey, everything's great, guys. We just called the press conference to let you know. Keep on keeping on.
This is the guy that's assigned to Wyoming. And this is probably his first ever press conference,
right,
so he's probably having a tough time.
Is that what it is?
Yeah,
I mean, like these are so they're just agents, or is this like a, like this is just an FBI agent? He doesn't have a history in public speaking or anything
like
that.
I guess I take public speaking for granted, too.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Throw any one of us up in any situation, like, oh, I guess I can say a few words or whatever. But yeah. I think normal people are someone who's just an investigator, just a detective.
And I think they're also...
I know regular people are. I'm just... I assume that people at the federal level of law enforcement are used to addressing groups of people.
Maybe.
About but developments in... There's always developments in these cases. And,
but again, yeah. I think it depends on...
You think he's a local, regional guy.
Yeah, like a local or regional guy. And you're not giving that kind of a statement. And it's also... you know the stakes of this situation where it is a national story where people are hanging on to every word.
Yeah.
You don't want to say the wrong thing. You don't want to upset the family. You don't want to give away information that isn't confirmed yet. There's a lot that goes into it. So
you don't want to accidentally use the word retard. So this Brian Laundrie kid, he's in the wind. Like they're trying to. The FBI,
I don't know how this happened.
The FBI raided his family's house. And yeah, I don't know either. I don't know why he brought the van back. Why would you bring the van?
It's his first murder, Alan.
What if he didn't kill her? What if it is a scenario where he left her and
she fell or something?
She fell and hit her, or maybe he accidentally killed her where they were fighting. He shoved her. She hit her head on a rock.
But why
not
say that?
Because people will be quick to judge.
Well, they're gonna judge. That's my point. They're gonna judge either way. You come back and you go, "We got to find her. I left her there to go all the way back to Florida with the van and not her." And like
then also. When the cops do come to you and say, hey, where is she? You don't cooperate with them, and then you go on the lam, like you hide.
Yeah. You got an attorney first.
That doesn't make you look innocent.
No, and I can't believe he can't get that far away, because like you said, he's on a lam.
What is
and
a
those
lamb?
Things, they, those things just don't go that quickly.
Oh, like
he's
a lamb.
He's on a lamb.
Lamb with a B. Wow. That's a big lamb.
Maybe he's a small guy. Yeah, I don't know how big he is. But that's something to look forward to. I mean, that's certainly going to give you away if you're walking around a...
Bah!
Yeah, there you go.
I'm always curious how people hide out in this day and age. Like, they found this chick through TikTok. So this guy, is he in a bunker some damn where?
Like, I don't know that they found the girl. They found the van on TikTok.
Yes.
I don't know that they found... We don't know what they found.
They found the location because these TikTokers were at...
But that's using information that the police already had.
No, they didn't have that lead. They weren't there. They were
once she was reporting missing, I'm sure we can like
the TikTokers had to know where to go.
I think the story is so popular because of TikTok. I think the police don't like to put out every single detail on an investigation. So they're not telling everybody. So when the TikTokers figure something out, then everybody's like, oh, the TikTokers are able to solve all these crimes. And maybe they have helped. I don't know. But they knew where she was last seen. So that's where you go to look.
Well, I just don't know where this guy is hiding out.
He's in a national forest is what they think.
It wasn't TikTok. It was a family who did a video blog about trips, somebody says.
There you go.
It's just weird.
How long can you hide in a forest, though?
We're going to find out.
You've got to eat. You've got to. You know what I mean? I guess you. I mean,
you depends on if you know what you're doing
and stuff. Yeah. But
probably has something prepared.
It not also, if you're on the run like that. Maybe we throw it in a rucksack.
If it was premeditated and he was like, "I always knew this was going to happen. I always knew they were out to get me." What? I can't kill a white woman in America and get away with it. So he probably had a tent out there and a fire made.
You're going to find a tent. You're going to find a tent? I don't know. That's what I'm saying. Like,
well, there's speculation that he went to a national forest, again, coming from TikTok. a national forest near his home, and he left on Tuesday of last week with a backpack, like a hiking pack.
Mm-hmm.
So it seems like he knows how to survive in the wilderness, but I don't know how long that's going to last, because if they see smoke or anything like that, they can start to pinpoint where you're at.
Hmm. Well, it certainly captured the attention of everyone in this country. So they're still looking for Brian Laundrie. That's the young man's name. And as soon as they find him, it's going to be a case of dirty laundry. As they have,
they're really going to hang him out to dry.
To drive? So they're looking for this guy, but the FBI did search his family's home. And there was a video of his mom and dad walking out of the house, and they're still trying to figure out what exactly happened. But boy, whatever happened, it certainly seems like it happened in a relatively short period of time. Weren't these two just going across the country to hang out and live in a van for a little while?
Well,
from Florida to Wyoming?
She hadn't been seen since August 27th, I believe, and he got back to Florida on September 1st.
Well, especially if
useful information, and I know nothing. But for whatever reason, all the details to this case drilled right into my head.
Especially if they say... Especially
hey,
if
what's your social security number?
I have no idea.
Especially if they say we found remains. We didn't find a body. We found remains.
Remains.
Yeah. Because it doesn't take long for, you know,
whenever I hear
a body
remains,
to become remains.
Oh, it just means decomposed. I think
yeah.
of cut up.
No. No,
like
I think
they found a foot or
if,
something.
If she was just in the elements, that body's going to decompose pretty fast.
And
like once you're
are
dead,
eat
yeah,
her
it doesn't take long for a body to decompose.
I don't even want to think about that.
You sure? Hey, let me go to Country Chris. What's going on, Chris?
Hey, what's up, y'all?
How are you?
Oh, pretty good. No, I've been mulling over this thing because I hear about it, you know, from the morning show and then y'all. I think he ended up killing those two lesbian chicks because her, like him and Abby, lighter than Gabby. Gabby, yeah. Him and Gabby got into it and they probably like went over there and was like, are you okay, girl? And he ended up killing them for whatever reason.
Wait, there's dead lesbians in this?
I didn't know there were dead lesbians.
That was the couple.
You didn't hear about this? Yeah, like a day or two before the, or a couple days before the police video of Gabby and him, there are two there's a lesbian couple that was up there hiking around that area that was found dead too.
They said that a creepy guy had come up, or they reported there was a weird dude. Yeah, because one girl was really cute, and she was like, there was like a young one and an older one that just got married or something.
It might have been that creepy dude and like gone on this hiking because he was watching, or he's been reading this book they say about, and one of the pictures, you know, all these Instagram and TikTok investigators. And one of his pictures on Instagram, he's reading a book about these three girls that go missing and something like that. And this other girl is the survivor or whatnot. I don't know. I haven't delved into all of that, but, you know, they say his playlist.
I mean, how quickly do you go from let's travel the country in a van to this sucks, I want to kill you?
That's why I think it had to have been an accident.
I think like you travel a country in a van and you find people that you like. It seems like perhaps a plan all along.
Really?
Well, like
maybe that, or you spend so much time with somebody, you just honest to God can't stand them anymore at this point. You just I want to blow my brains out.
I guess.
Around.
I mean, maybe dip your toe in the water before you go in a van across the country. Maybe be like, hey, let's go rent a cabin for a weekend and see how we do.
They were engaged. This could have been them dipping their toes in the water to live
for marriage. Yeah.
Wow. Well,
and they didn't pass the test and he killed her. I mean, I don't know. I'm not saying he did, but I don't know why you would do all this stuff if you were innocent. I mean, I get, you know, the accusations coming back and all that, but I mean, the accusations now are just everyone in the country believes you did it.
Yeah. I mean, it's one thing to be nervous and not know what to say. It's another thing to be like actively
And if he didn't do it, he's never going to come back from this ever. Like, you know, for the rest of his life, he's going to be known for this.
Right. Yes. He's going to be known as what, Mary?
The guy. Yeah.
Dirty laundry.
All right. Thank you, Chris. There's Country Chris, one of our bureau chiefs in Memphis. Thanks,
I know
pal.
There's no upside or anything like that, but I feel like the optimist in me is I want it to be an accident. I want them to have had like a fight and he shoved her or something, or she tripped, or they were drunk, or
I agree with you.
To be what it is.
But
so
I would think if it was an accident, the first words out of my mouth would be it was an accident.
But then he's admitting to murder. He's a young guy, so he's
but
like
that's
if
manslaughter,
I admit
and that's different than. I think if he did it, like if he did, I mean, there's also a difference between an accident and getting into a fight.
But so, you can get into a fight and not kill someone.
Right. But, and they had a physical altercation days beforehand.
So then that's what I'm saying. If that's a precedent for them.
Yeah. So that's why I'm thinking he may not have meant to kill her, but he was aggressive towards her and it may have led to him killing her by accident. And that's why he is probably out on the lam.
Oof. It's awful. It's just
it's
an
so
awful story.
Yeah, it's not that good.
And it happens every single day in the country. Maybe not under these like marquee light circumstances, but it happens to all kinds of people we've never heard of.
Yeah, before. You sent me that video of the guy. He was all worked up because in the news, this is the story that will take over
Charles Blow, the other stories. Yeah.
No matter, a missing white woman, especially if she's young, especially if she's attractive, there is an obsession with that in American news.
Joe in Philly, what's going on?
Yo, what up, guys?
How are you?
Doing well. So, look, this guy's from Florida. Clearly not the smartest chicken in the coop. Like, why was he not arrested, like, or just cops sitting outside of his house?
Well, I thought it was strange that a couple days in, the Florida police said we don't have any reason, we don't have any evidence that points to foul play, which I thought was, I'm not a cop, but boy, that seemed premature. Like, I don't know. Maybe just dealing with what they had at the time.
Yeah, I feel like that's a customer service line. It's like, oh, let me put you on hold real quick. I'll come right back. And it's like, oh, yeah, let me, we don't see anything to hold him. So, yeah, he's good. It just doesn't make sense. None of it makes sense.
Well, listen, Joe, everybody from Philadelphia to Ohio and beyond, everybody, what are they crying about? We want better customer service with law enforcement. So that's all they were trying to do. Protect and serve, Joe.
I do enjoy Mary's word choice on some of these things. Remains, as if like they're just leftover barbecue.
Right.
And optimistic, like she's dead. Not due to blunt force trauma from him, but due to falling off a cliff.
Well, she's trying to find the silver lining.
It's better than
trying to find the silver lining. You know, she's trying to. She's glass half full. She's.
Be safe.
All right, thank you. There's Joe in Philadelphia.
The Alan Cox Show reminds you: don't text and drive unless that text is, "Hey, Mom, who was the drummer for Supertramp?" That can't wait.
100.7 WMMS.
When they get that kid, they can play this at the perp walk. Well, Don Henley, Dirty Laundry, right now on the buzzer. I make my living off the evening news. And on that guy who said that dude can't come back from this, if he comes back innocent, Casey Anthony's living a quiet, normal life. Yeah, and who wouldn't want to be her? Casey Anthony.
Yeah, but you can't.
No, you're like OJ. Yeah. Everybody assumes that you were found innocent, but everybody assumes you killed your kid. But the body cam footage from that altercation in the desert was. She said she hit him, I think. She said that she was suffering from a lot of anxiety or something, and that she hit him.
He had scratches on his arms from her.
But that he didn't...
Retaliate.
Oh, it's just all very, very strange. But again, this kind of stuff goes on all the time.
Yeah, there's a lot of people that are angry about that, and they're saying, well, why don't women of color get this kind of coverage, or men get this kind of coverage when they go missing? And I agree, but this one's also an extreme case where it's very, it's kind of a wild story on top of it. It's not like she just disappeared from her house. They were on this journey together, and then he comes back without her, and it blows up from there. And I think they had I don't know how big their social media following was, but, you know, those van life people.
Living that hashtag van life. Alan, I think these are crisis actors. They're trying to take away our van rights.
Oh, my God.
You think so?
No.
Mika Kabia, you don't think it's a false flag? Trying to take away our hashtag van rights? All right.
Van rights? Okay.
Alan Cox Show After Hours line. You can always leave us a message there if you like. It's 216-986-8903.
Hey, guys. It's Albert here. Hope everybody's doing great. Mary, thanks for the cameo. Listen to the show on Thursday. We got to talking about stupid superpowers. And if we could only have stupid superpowers, I'd want my ability to be like I could either make people trip on command or stub their toe.
Yes.
You know, someone really pisses you off and they turn around and he's like, bam! You point at them and they stub their toe. That'd make me happy. All right, guys. Hope you had a great weekend. Love you. Bye.
Yeah, I forgot we were talking about stupid superpowers. I like the one where your reverse strength, where really
you're
heavy
so
things
weak.
Go right up. Super heavy things go right up, like if you try to pick up a pencil.
Oh,
like,
that's so funny.
Oh, my God, I can't get...
That's hilarious.
Yeah. Tripping, so I don't think I'd want to trip anybody.
I love watching people fall down.
I know you do.
So I actually...
You would want that same superpower.
Yes. Especially if they're being a dick. Like, you're at the gas station, and they do something, they mouth off, and you just, like, pink, and then they trip out the door and spill their
Yeah,
drink.
But there you have a reason for doing it, ostensibly. It's
yeah.
The people where you just have no reason at all. Like a
well,
little...
don't do that to them.
Make a little kid trip. Oh, so
well,
you're only going to use it on people who are not being nice?
Yes, you use your power for good, Alan.
Well, some people would.
Starts that way.
Some people would not. You get drunk with power, with your stupid superpower.
You could control sports.
Who? Oh, with the tripping.
If you have the tripping
yeah,
power.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
Tripping power.
Wow.
Yeah.
And then the gambler in you takes over.
Oh, my God. Oh, give me this goodness. Power. This is the best power.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I don't know what my stupid superpower would be. Skipping really fast.
Really? Like yeah. You have super speed, but only when you skip.
Only when you skip.
I love that.
Skipping really fast.
That's funny.
Yeah. Mine would be to make other people's nose runny.
Oh, that's the worst.
Mine would be the perfect body underneath my clothes.
So when you take your clothes off, it's not there anymore?
I have the best body in the world, but it's...
But only we got shirt on.
Wait, that would be what you would have, or you would give that to other people?
No, that's what I want. I'm like, wow, that guy has the hottest bod I've ever seen, that tight little shirt. And I take it off, and it's just a bunch of flub.
He's confusing
A bunch
people.
Of flub. Oh, I thought he meant like Ned Flanders, who ended up being secretly ripped.
It's like the reverse of that.
Reverse, I see.
In a shirt. Where,
like, in a shirt, he
muscles
looks
bulging
yeah.
out.
Looks amazing.
Pecs, yeah. You can see his abs.
Yep.
And then he gets to the beach, and you see him like, oh, wow. And then he takes his shirt off. He's like, blah, blah,
blah. Hey, that's how women been living for a long time. Between
that's
the
hilarious.
Spanks and the chicken cutlets and the girdles and the, you know, the wigs.
That's so funny.
Yeah, but that would, I mean... So you would be able to attract someone, but then you'd get them home, and you have to make sure the lights are off.
But they'd be so confused.
Right.
That's what I like.
That's the best part.
Like, I don't understand. You put your shirt back on.
They get home and just start playing around in the dark. They're like, "What is? What am I feeling? What is
well,
this?"
I'll just stick it through the zipper hole. Like, you want this hot bod, baby?
Mary, that's like your joke with the guy that leaves the shirt on.
Yeah.
Now you want him to leave the shirt
right.
on.
Right.
So he has the hot
goodness.
Bod.
They're like, oh my gosh, I feel the crest, the creasing your back. Mm.
The smile of your back?
The smile of your back. Like, mm.
The smile of your back.
You're like goldfish crackers.
Touch the feel, the smile of your back.
There you go. Chris Rock got a breakthrough case of COVID. Mm. He was telling everybody on Twitter over the weekend to get vaccinated, because he is. But I guess he got a pretty bad case, too. So he's telling people to... Again, when people are vaccinated, then go, I got a breakthrough case, so get vaccinated. Like, either do or don't. I mean, people should be, but I don't know that that's going to change anybody's mind.
No. Because they're going to say, what's the point?
Right.
You can still get it.
Right. Yeah, okay. I mean, there's a case to be made for counties releasing that information, by the way, no matter where they are, because, you know, some counties around the country will release that kind of information about cases and hospitalizations and things like that. And county by county, I mean, it's pretty clear as far as hospitalizations go and as far as really serious cases go. If you're unvaccinated, you have about a 1 in 700 chance of getting really sick. And if you are vaccinated, you have about a 1 in 15,000 chance. So obviously, you know, if you hear prominent people mentioning that, they get attention because of who they are. You get attention because of who Chris Rock is. But it doesn't, so it probably makes it seem more prevalent than it is. But he's 56 years old. Chris Rock's in pretty good shape. Or he has recently gotten into better shape. He was kind of pulling a Chappelle for a little while. Chappelle got really yoked years ago, and then he's kind of, I think, moved further away from that. And Chris Rock is, you know, he's a divorced guy. He was dating younger girls. And he's trying to keep himself in shape if you're pushing 60. So why not?
He was always so skinny.
He's always skinny. Still is. Yeah. He's a thin guy.
But he's put on
back in
muscle,
the day, though, man. He was like a... It was like a mop walking around. You know what I mean? He's like really, really skinny. He had those long fingers. He made a surprise appearance at a benefit show last week in New York City.
Salad fingers looking guy.
What?
Salad fingers.
Salad fingers?
Isn't that the guy?
What?
Like it was some internet.
Babadook. That's what I think of when I think of long fingers. Right? He's the one with like the real long, linky...
I don't remember the Babadook's fingers. I remember the hat and the face and the... I was just having a conversation with somebody about how I love, because Halloween is coming up, and I love when they'll take a well-known intellectual property but have to make it super generic for the purposes of a costume. Like when Conan O'Brien years ago was going through the whole Tonight Show Michigas. It was, you know, there were clearly Conan costumes, big red pompadour, but it was talk show host.
Yeah.
Or there was a Jay Leno mask.
Yeah.
Talk show host. And you'll see like Babadook ripoffs, but they're called Voodoo Man.
Yeah.
Or, you know, I love that. I love genericked out names for Halloween characters.
Do you know what
can't be Lord of the Rings? It's got to be, you know, sword guy, goblin boy,
hill dwelling short guy.
Yeah, that's right. What, Cody?
Do you know what you want to be for Halloween?
Are you talking to me?
Yeah. Why would you think he would have
As to? I'm an adult, I hadn't given it any thought.
Some people get into care. What?
It's like you met him today.
Yeah,
like,
have you ever heard me talk about...
What do you think?
I dress up in what my wife tells me we're going to dress up
okay,
in.
Okay, because so I don't tell care. You this year?
I don't know. Last year, when we were sitting in the driveway, I think we had big cat body suits on or something because our daughter wanted to do something along those lines.
Mm-hmm.
Gwen had a great idea when our daughter was first born. That first, she was born in February, and that Halloween we were going to be ZZ Top. And that would have been a great costume if we had really put our heads down and put it together, because we have a baby and a beard. And
yeah.
It would have been funny. We never got around to it. But no, I don't ever give those things thought because I don't care.
It's like
if the day came and went and I wasn't dressed as anything, I'm perfectly fine. If my wife goes, hey, you know, we were the Shining Twins back in the day and all that, and people enjoy that and it's fun. She loves Halloween, so I defer to her because I couldn't care less. I'm not a Scrooge about it.
Yeah.
But I'm not racking my brain over what my costume is going to be. You know, when we used to do the Halloween, Alan Cox Show Halloween parties, yeah, I'd have to give it a lot of thought. I was Burger King Diamond one year and, you know, so I put some thought into it that way. But if somebody's like, what are you going to be for Halloween?
He watched Hocus Pocus last night.
You did?
With Erica. Like, literally, it goes...
It says I've seen that movie like 50 times.
September 19th.
It goes from
spoiler alert, it doesn't get any less crappy.
It goes from, like, Labor Day straight to Halloween. And I text Erica that, because I was just going to go over and just chill with her. And she's just like, great, we can watch Hocus Pocus. I said, it's... the middle of September. She said, it's Halloween in my heart.
It's her house and, all Halloweened out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, that's funny.
And so I told her that I wanted to be Cusco, and she didn't know who that was. And I said, I saw some costumes online, but...
You mean Cujo, the giant rabid murderous dog?
No, Cusco from Cuscus. Emperor's New Groove.
The city in Peru?
No, Emperor's New Groove.
Oh.
The Disney classic.
But all the costumes online look cheap. Like, the little crown, I actually want to have, like, a crown. They're all, like, little cloth. I'm like... Erica's the knick-knack queen, so maybe she can make me something.
What?
But, what?
She's the what queen?
She's the knick-knack queen. Oh, okay. She just has a bunch of crafts laying around. She can make me a crown.
Get a Burger King crown. Get a little paper
it's
crown.
It's not the same type of... It's
no, this looks like
crown.
A gold fan or something. Is
oh,
that
yeah,
the
yeah, yeah. He's got, okay. And then it's like got a, like a hair piece almost.
And then he
it, like
has
a
like
red
a big
thing.
Red robe on. This is who you want to be for Halloween.
Yeah.
It's a cute movie. Show it to your daughter. You might like it.
I'm sure I will.
I've never seen this one.
No, I haven't either.
Oh, God.
That's a staple for
David
me.
Spade is in that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
he's
okay.
Cusco. He's the main guy.
Oh, he's this guy. That's David Spade.
Who's the squinty guy from... yeah, the main guy is David Spade. He's from Rules of Engagement.
Person.
No.
Warburton.
Patrick
Warburton.
He was Putty on Seinfeld.
He plays a character in here, too. And he plays like a doofy like.
I love that you went to Rules of Engagement for Patrick Warburton.
That's how I knew
him. Where he played an iconic character on one of the biggest sitcoms of all. No, I love Rules of Engagement too. I just like that's where your brain went. Not David Putty. Yeah. Who was the guy in Rules of Engagement?
But you have to think of her age. And then you also have the Putty was a character that was on Seinfeld sometimes. On Rules of Engagement, he's in every episode.
He's the guy.
Yeah, he's the guy. Yeah. He's the rules.
Also,
he's the rules. I'm Frank Rules.
I have not really seen Seinfeld. I know you look at me like that. I've seen episodes.
No, it's not here. For everyone. I get it.
Well, it's not that I don't like it. I've seen episodes here and there. I've probably seen 10 episodes of Seinfeld in my entire life. Well, I know the references, but
October 1st, it comes to Netflix, so you can give it a watch.
I have the box set.
Oh, that's right.
Someone gave me the box set. They were like cleaning out their DVD collection and gave me the box set of Seinfeld that I've never opened.
And you were like, thanks?
Well, I was like, oh, maybe I'll watch it. But
yeah,
I don't know. I just haven't gotten around to it.
It's not for everyone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it is a type of show that I think I would like. And I've liked the few episodes I have seen, but I don't know like the reoccurring characters and things like that.
You're not an uber nerd about it like I am.
No. That's The Office for me.
Right. Alan's stupid superpower, make people pee their pants when you get mad at them.
Oh, that's embarrassing. Then that ruins their whole day.
Well, they're walking around wet.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
I'm not trying to do that. Yeah, I'm not necessarily trying to do that.
See, just falling down.
It's also, you just use it for good.
You see someone steal a purse, you make them pee their pants.
You have to then also control your anger so you're not just making people pee their pants for little things.
Yeah.
You get cut off in traffic, making someone pee their pants while they're driving.
Frank says, I would want the ability to see people's farts.
So you can know exactly where it came from?
I know. What, I mean, again, these are stupid superpowers, so it can be whatever. It's like when those things go viral of the supposed heat camera, you know, where people are farting. I'm like, it all looks fake, but, you know, he wants to see people's farts.
Man, I have had some nasty farts since I started this diet.
Good to know.
Between fiber and protein, things don't come out smelling so great.
Super attractive.
That's what it'll do.
What'd you say?
I said that's super attractive.
It was hard. My boyfriend came over last night, and it was hard. I kept leaving the room. He's like, are you farting again? I was like, yeah, I'm sorry. These are
you
bad.
Farting again? Yes, I am, honey.
Are they loud?
They're loud.
Why don't you record one?
You want to record one?
Of course. I have a useful pointless superpower.
Ready?
But I think it'd be cool. I would like to shave just being able to use my finger.
Oh, yeah, that would be nice.
A razor finger?
Not necessarily a razor, but like maybe my finger is like Nair, and wherever I put my finger, I can like shave my hair.
Wait,
I love that. I love that. No, that's your superpower.
It removes hair.
And then as soon as he scratches his head, he's like, ugh.
Oh, no. Yeah, or pets a dog.
Oh, I forgot to turn off my power.
People would hate you immediately if you just...
I shake hands and then they go bald.
Because you'd forget. If it was something stupid,
you would totally forget.
You go, oh my God, anything I touch, hair comes off.
I would like it if the next time he got yelled at on the show, he just came in here and just put his hands through your hair. Gave you like zigzaggy lines.
Yeah, right. You are so right, Alan.
Yeah,
pat on the back.
Yeah. Well, the first time I ever yell at you, I'll let you know. Alan, my superpower would be making anybody orgasm at will, but you have to look them in the eye.
Oh,
and it would also be, and it would also apply to animals. Why would you want to make it? I'm out here making raccoons spurt.
But think of all the people that you would look in the eye every day. The cashier at the grocery store or whatever, whoever. A person in traffic that you lock eyes with and that person's like, what happened?
I think I just got sexually assaulted, but I'm not sure.
I liked it.
But imagine if you're in a fight and then all of a sudden you just stare into their eyes and they finish and they go, I don't think I need a nap.
It's like I got to leave the ring.
It's like in Bruce Almighty, where he does that. He's God, and he makes Jennifer Aniston go crazy in the bathroom.
Yeah. Somebody else said, make people orgasm when you shake their hand. Well, hopefully, I would like COVID to make a lot of that go away.
Orgasming?
I was shaking hands. I was fist bumping people all day on Sunday. You can fly, but only turn left.
I feel like that's doable.
Yeah. You're still faster than
being able to make someone fart uncontrollably. Someone else is calling these superpowers.
Ooh, I like that.
Pretty good. I don't want anybody to fart uncontrollably. Yeah, I want them to be. I would like to make them fart controllably. Like they feel one, and then I put one in the chamber, but then they've got to make the decision as to whether it's up to them.
You give someone canker sores.
Gastric consent.
That's so annoying. Getting a canker sore? No, thank you.
Let's go. Oh, you don't like me? Boom, canker sore.
Whenever I'm hungry.
Bill the Shanker King over here.
Whenever I'm hungry, I want to feel and taste the food coming down my throat.
Can you not feel down your throat?
Are you trying to tell us that your throat is numb all the time?
I'm not really eating, but whenever I get hungry, I just want to feel food going down my throat.
So, like...
Do you not feel that now?
I don't know this one.
He doesn't want to have to eat, I think is what he's saying.
Yeah,
so
you
when
can just
he's hungry,
taste
he
it.
Just, like, swallows. And
so you can think
like
of
chicken.
A flavor and taste it.
Yes.
When you're hungry, food just materializes in your throat?
No, just the flavor.
Oh.
I think, right? Just the flavor.
The snozzberries taste like snozzberries. Yeah.
So there's no calories or nothing. I'm like, I get the cravings. Like, I can taste it. Tastes good, but I didn't really eat it.
But you do know you're still going to be hungry because there's nothing in your belly.
But I'd be skinny and fabulous, and I would have a...
And you could take his shirt off.
No, but then your mouth would just taste like food all the time. So you go to kiss somebody, and you taste like meatloaf.
Okay.
Alan, what about the ability to understand all languages for the duration of your hiccups?
I like these qualifiers, but only when you have hiccups.
Right. I just want a spidey sense that will tell me if a drive-through line will take 10 times longer than expected. And not a Chick-fil-A.
Not if you have the Wendy's app. Just have it delivered.
The ability to grow hair in seconds. A mustache would just appear.
That's not fun for a woman. What do I need hair for?
Well, what if you need to wax your lip?
It appears in seconds.
Yeah, you make it appear somewhere else so you distract people from the fact that you're waxing your lip.
My elbow? I got a mustache on my elbow?
Hey, what's in the hairy elbow, lady?
You have 937 messages, all of which are marked urgent.
Call the Alan Cox Show, 216-578-1007 or 1-800-348-1007.
If you want to send me a text, alancoxshow.com. You can watch live there. You can hit us up at our Facebook page as well. If you listen to the show on iHeartRadio, fresh off that big iHeartRadio Music Festival, I guess our girl Dua Lipa was one of the big standouts from that thing over the weekend. I don't know. I wasn't there, but that's what I heard.
Dua Lipa.
Dua Lipa did a really good job. That Journey was a standout. I heard Lil Baby was hot garbage, but I don't know much about Lil Baby, but that one... jumped out
just
as
a baby.
As not getting good reviews, so I don't know what was going on there, but that happened in Vegas over the weekend, and then they will air it on television in a couple of weeks, I think, but I'm sure they'll be talking about that nonstop, too, when that's about to happen. But if you listen to the show on iHeartRadio from outside of Ohio, tell me where. Aaron is a bureau chief in Jacksonville, Florida. Phil listens in Monterey, California. Deborah is in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Adam listens in Greeley, Colorado, and we have a lot of... Mike is one of our many bureau chiefs in Denver, Colorado. There is a town, speaking of Denver, there's a town due east of Denver. It's about probably 2 hours due east of Denver, Colorado. It's a tiny town. It's called Cope, Colorado. And I don't even think there's 100 people living there. Very small town. Out there on Route 36. If you blink, you miss it. And they had a phone booth. You know, kind of like the little claim to fame. You drive through Cope. There's a phone booth right there. It's kind of the centerpiece of their public park. And it had been there as long as phone booths have been a thing. Been there a long time. And it's been stolen.
Oh, no.
And, when you're in a town like Cope, Colorado, all you've got going for you is a dumb phone booth. and somebody took it. You know, some people will steal anything. It doesn't matter if they can do anything with it. It doesn't matter. I don't know if there's some kind of phone booth black market. Some people will steal anything because it's there and because they can. You're driving by in a Geo Metro, you're not going to be able to do anything with a phone booth. Yeah, you're driving by a big old truck.
Yeah. Colorado, though, there's trucks.
A lot of trucks out there. Vicky Cecil and Lanny Payne are two of the people who live in Cope. Again, this is a town of about 56 people.
Wow.
And the phone booth, long, as you might expect, long past the time where it was a functioning phone booth. People weren't pulling over to use it. But, you know, people take photos with it or whatever, and they're asking for the safe return of their phone booth to the town of Cope, Colorado.
We are in Cope, Colorado.
We have about 56...
Sorry, Colorado.
Colorado.
It's like Missouri. Did you hear people say Missouri when you were in O'Fallon?
I did not.
People that reside in the town of Cope. We have a post office. We have two churches.
And no phone booth. That was a significant piece of our town history. It's been in here for 50 years.
We would appreciate it if we would ever get it back. It would be fun for us.
The traffic along 36, it's amazing that would stop, you know, all of a sudden come around the block and look at it. It was just kind of a novelty. I mean, it's just sad that somebody would take our little phone booth.
Boy, that tells you right there. There's a little snapshot. That tells you all you need to know about this country. A town of 56 people. It has two churches.
Yeah, right.
They go, I don't know. I don't know if we're going to be able to handle the overflow. We might need another church.
You need the right one and wrong one.
That's the real important part.
One of them's got a lady preacher, and we don't take kindly to that.
Dueling churches.
We don't cotton to the ladies telling us what's up.
Well, one of them's actually a mosque.
56 people in Cope, and they've got... two churches, and now no phone booth. And they're hoping that authorities can help them out and figure out what's going on there. Used to be outside the Conoco gas station. And they said, well, you know, everybody's got their cell phones today, and so doesn't really, no reason for it to be hooked up. It's kind of a novelty. But we thought it was a significant piece of our town history. You know, some towns don't have anything, Bill. I ever told you about a town called Wakarusa, Indiana?
Yes, you did.
They have a lot, yeah. Actually, Alan. Much to be thankful for.
I don't know if I ever mentioned it. There's a small town called Wakarusa, Indiana. And they...
Just the ground.
And they had championship livestock there, Bill.
Yeah, I am aware.
they had a cow.
Uh-huh.
And everybody would want to...
What's the cow's name?
The cow's name. It's funny you ask, because, you know, those registered...
I don't think it's funny that she asked. I think she knows the cow's name.
I don't know the name.
Those
registered
cows, you know, they've got the names of their mother and father and half their ancestors when they register them to show them. The cow in Wakarusa was named Contented Linda Grace.
Oh, what a name.
Moo.
What a story.
And that's the end of the story.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure I've told it before.
I was enthralled.
Yeah.
Are there more details you could go into?
Oh, so many. But you know what? I'm not going to bore you with those details.
Who said anything about bore?
Ah, Bill's over there growling.
Go into the details. Go, Moo. It's your show. Do what you want.
Alan, if you could make going back to
superpowers.
If you made someone orgasm by shaking their hand, wouldn't you be ostracized from family get-togethers?
Oh, just don't shake anybody's hand.
Yeah,
I mean, do you shake family members' hands? Yeah,
not
I mean,
really.
In-laws maybe.
I like this one: the ability to fly, but you can't fly faster than 35 miles per hour. Or higher than 10 feet off the ground.
That seems more trouble.
But flying
it's like
is flying,
you're cooking, it's slow and low. Mm-hmm. It's like you're cooking a brisket.
I'm levitating.
Yeah.
Ralphie May had a movie that he made years and years ago. I don't know if they just did like a trailer or like a sketch,
but his character was afraid of heights, so he could fly, but he would only fly a few feet off the ground.
That's funny. You're
terrible. That's like being able to
3 feet off the ground flying around.
That's like being able to teleport, but you only teleport like 100 feet.
I want to go from here to over there.
I'm just gonna get snagged real quick.
That would be cool though, because you're just like, that's not funny. Here, not here.
God, I would skip.
You
some
have to
stairs,
see
though.
Where you're gonna go.
I'd freak people out. I'm just like, hey, Mary, and Mary, look over here. I'm like, ah. I said, hey, Mary, and then I just disappear all over the room.
That's funny.
Man.
Teleporting is cool.
Yeah, agreed.
Boy, what are the chances? You want to talk about luck. You know, a lot of people don't think they have any luck. But imagine the luck that a couple of dudes who do a Bigfoot podcast ended up seeing two of them.
Wow.
Man, you want to talk about lucky.
That's pretty lucky.
Oh,
in one episode?
Well, they were regaling their listeners with a tale of these are two Bigfoot hunters in northern Michigan. And they've got a podcast. You can't do a podcast when you ain't seeing Bigfoots. So, boy, these guys are lucky. Something for them to be. So then they can go back and talk about the Bigfoots, feet, big feet they saw. Sasquatches?
Bigfoot.
And then it started walking towards us closer. And then we're sitting there shaking. I said, I'm going to go back down and see if he follows me down again. He goes, okay. So I went back down there again, and he didn't follow me. He kept walking towards my buddy. And then
this thing was huge, he says. It was like Shaquille O'Neal huge. Big legs, big hips.
Are they sure it wasn't?
He's a dime. That's the top of the line.
Shaquille O'Neal.
In the woods of northern Michigan, I would be willing to bet it was not Shaquille O'Neal. But he's like, first we thought it was a bear, but it wasn't a bear. The hair all over it. But boy, imagine the luck. You're doing a Bigfoot podcast, and you end up seeing a couple of them. Man.
Now, they obviously have video of this.
Like, nope.
Clear HD
nope.
video.
4K. Mm-hmm. Nope. 4K. Nope. I mean, I can't do my... That's why I had to stop my Chupacabra podcast.
What was that called?
Kept finding them?
It was called Chupa Podcast. because I couldn't find them. I mean, just an affinity for a mythical creature is not enough. You've got to have hard, fast proof like these guys doing their Sasquatch podcast.
You missed an opportunity to call it Chupapadra.
Did I?
Yeah, Chupapadra?
Did
Come
I?
Come on.
Did I? Okay. Listen. Chupapadra. So these two guys are up there. They heard noises, and then all hell broke loose. Like two T-Rexes going at it, he said. And then they jumped in the river, and everything got quiet.
Hmm.
And then they got the hell out of there. So, man.
Just seems like...
I can't wait for this video to drop.
I mean, that would make the most sense that if you are a Bigfoot hunter, you're just trying to find evidence of a Bigfoot, and there's no better evidence than clear HD video. Even if it's at night, there's good enough technology now that you can take some pretty good night video.
Bill, they're bow hunters, they're not cameramen. These are not cameramen.
Yeah.
They might not know their way around video equipment. Mm-hmm. They're doing a podcast, so they got some audio equipment. They blew all their cash. I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt. They blew all their cash the audio equipment, left them with no video equipment.
Or even with your phone, you could probably get something.
Yeah.
Just seems like...
Maybe they have flip phones.
Hmm.
Or no...
Perhaps.
Not only that, I hate to hear that the Bigfoots are fighting. These guys describe just this massive hairy Donnybrook out there in the river. And if these Bigfoot's feet are as...
The big feet, yeah.
Yeah, they are as endangered. Not even endangered. Like, there's so few
of
them.
Rare.
Secretive. Rare and secretive. And
maybe that's how they mate.
They're the Norm MacDonald of woodland mythical creatures. They don't let anybody know what's going on with them.
Yeah, I'm not a Bigfoot, huh? I'm a bear. Leave me alone.
Is that big feet?
Just a bear.
But I would hate to think that as few of them as there are, that they still can't find common ground between them. I mean, imagine if you were... I started watching this show that they finally adapted out of this comic book I used to love called Why the Last Man. And they've been talking about making this thing for years. About this virus that kills every male on the planet. Animal, vegetable, mineral. And so it's just women. But there's one guy who somehow has lived. Imagine if it was him and he finds another guy and they start fighting. You'd be like, bro, we're the last two here. Why would the two Bigfoot?
The S actually goes in the front in this.
Bigfoot. Yeah. Why would the two Bigfoot engage in any kind of fighting? You think they'd be like, yeah, let's go, I don't know what they do, bend these hunters over and have some fun.
Yeah. The hunters. Wait, are you insinuating that Bigfoots are rapists?
No.
Those are dolphins, saying. Bill.
No, I'm not suggesting that.
No, it sounds like that's what you were insinuating.
I certainly don't want to besmirch the Bigfoot hunting community. Bigfoot hunting community. No, I'm not suggesting that. But I'm simply suggesting that if they are out there in the forest, and they've, I assume, as living, breathing creatures, they've got needs.
Maybe that's how they can't be met, huh? They fist fight to mate.
Glad you said fight. I don't know how they mate, but if there's two males,
how do they know they were males?
And by the way, I don't assume that they mate just to procreate. I'm assuming that maybe they're out there looking for some fun. And they don't know how to approach humans that are looking for them.
Night on the town.
I mean, would you want to approach someone that was constantly hunting you?
Yeah, being a woman.
Oh, so deep. So deep.
Right, Cody? Nobody knows more about the inequality of the sexes than a gay man.
So I walked right into that one, didn't I? I'll tell you what. Mary.
Teleport out of that.
Mary dropping some knowledge on us. Dropping some truth chronicles on us.
We are the most hunted species.
Real quick, super power. Back to teleporting.
Yeah.
You can teleport anywhere, but every time you teleport somewhere, you poop your pants.
Can you wear a diaper?
I mean, that's up to you.
Well, then, yeah, I'm in.
But the diaper doesn't teleport.
Non-teleportable diapers?
Oh, wait. So every time you teleport, not only poop your pants, but you leave your clothes behind?
No, just a diaper. I was trying to find diapers, a loophole.
Yeah. Oh.
No loopholes. Mm. You poop your pants.
DD mega doo-doo.
Poop your pants every time you...
That's expensive.
I'm telling you, man. Hyperloop.
And you smell when you get there. Yeah. So it's like, you know, when you walk out of an elevator and you go, I didn't do it.
Yeah.
This
but
time,
you're there, man.
Everywhere you show up, you smell.
Everywhere you show up that poop. You
Well, not
teleported.
Covered. It's in your pants. He didn't say covered in poop.
I don't know what kind of poop it is.
It's in your pants.
Yeah, you got to load in your shorts.
Let me ask you this. Does the amount vary, or is it a static amount every time?
The further you want to go, the more it is.
Oh.
Yeah. So if you want to teleport to Italy, that's a lot.
Guys, stand back. I just booked my European vacation.
Right.
Yeah, I was reading that
it's all solid. It's never diarrhea.
Oh, it's always solid.
Then, yeah, absolutely. Oh. Just put your hand on there, rummage around, throw it, flick it, you know?
Ooh.
Is that how you deal with pooping your pants?
Yeah.
Rummage around. She was going to post it on her social media just last week.
Just rummage around.
She has no compunction whatsoever with releasing that information.
It's a solid, but it's still, I mean, it's still got some, it's going to leave marks and stuff.
Yeah.
Can't just rummage around in it.
Would you... shifting a little bit from that, but taking the basic premise. Would you teleport if every time you did, you lost an eyelash?
Just one eyelash?
Yes.
There's not a lot of eyelashes. Do they grow back?
I don't think so. So, invariably, you'll lose all of your eyelashes with the number of and even if you only teleport a few times, would you? You'd have no eyelashes.
They make fake eyelashes.
You can't use fake eyelashes.
You just have to eventually be...
Eyelashes.
Without eyelashes. Now... Here's my question.
I think people underestimate the aesthetic value of eyelashes. Yes. We're so used to them that when you see someone without them, you go, you don't realize how taken aback you're going to be.
Well, and they keep dust out of your eyes.
Well, that's what I'm saying. So is the teleportation worth not only being ostracized by eyelash-having people, but also by having dusty eyes?
Also, do you run out of... As soon as you have no more eyelashes, you can't teleport anymore?
It's like your ticket?
No, you can do it, but then your body will shift to losing some other thing, but it doesn't tell you what it is.
Like a fingernail or something?
Maybe, yeah, so your fingernails pop off.
The average human has between 90 and 150 eyelashes on the upper lid and 70 to 80 on the bottom. So okay. If we're lowballing it, you got 160 eyelashes per eye. 320. So you can teleport 320 times. That's a lot.
It is a lot, but I bet you if you had that power, you'd be using it all the time.
Well, you can't.
You'd burn through those 360 in 2 years.
Every other day you're teleporting somewhere?
Yeah. Homework. Oh, I'm late. Boink. I'm at work.
I think you have to have some eyelash teleportation discipline.
Yeah, you gotta ration it.
Oh, I agree. I'm just saying that if that was a power you recently discovered you had.
I mean, there's definitely going to be some times where you're like, I'm lazy today.
It's like when
I'm just going to eyelash my way to work.
It's like these people that win the lottery.
Yeah.
And then they blow it all because they go, oh, I've got tons of money. Make money eyelashes. So you have a lot of eyelash money, and then you go, oh, I'm burning through. I've got plenty. Teleport, teleport, teleport.
Now here's
next thing you know, oh, my eyelash money's gone. I'm eyelash poor.
Your eyelashes are also your money. So you can tell
bones are their money. So are their lashes.
How are your eyelashes your money? You gotta pay with them?
Yeah, that's
how much
like,
are they worth?
Each eyelash is worth
whatever the market will bear.
I'll say
different cities. You get 360 of them on a low end.
We'll go $5,000 each.
Wow.
Yeah, that's a lot, boy. Yeah.
But that's all you get for, like, you can't make, that's all your money ever.
That's still
how much money is that?
My head's not working.
Brooke had a hammer back and he brought that hammer
down.
Exactly, the bones are the skeleton's money. In our world, bones equal dollars. That's why they're coming out tonight to get their bones from you. The skeletons will pull your hair up, but not out.
That is the only
but not out
sketch of that show that I really like. I like that one's very silly and very funny.
Oh, you don't like the late great
Fred Willard.
Fred Willard as the funeral organist. He's breaking plates and
that one's great. And then there's the baby of the year is one of my favorite songs. Little toucan.
Anyway.
Oh. $1.8 million if each of your eyelashes is worth $5,000.
Okay, and that's all the money you have for your entire life.
That's not enough. Mm.
You couldn't live on $1.8 million for the rest of your life?
Forever? No.
Yeah. Pardon me? You couldn't live on one... That's more money than you'll ever have, and you're living now.
I understand that, but if that's all... I guarantee you, in my 30 years, I've spent more than $1.8 million. Think of all the things that add up every single day.
They don't add up to $1.8 million.
That is not that much money for the next 60 years.
I could make it work.
No, you could not.
Most people never see that kind of money in their lifetime.
30 grand a year.
Yeah.
You don't think you spend more than 30 grand a year?
I'd have to make it work.
I don't make 30 grand a year, and I guarantee you I spend 30 grand a year.
Now you got that credit card.
Swipe, swipe, swipe.
See, you're swiping it like eyelashes. Like, these will never run out.
Some things are never meant to be discussed in polite society. Welcome to Impolite Society.
The Alan Cox Show.
On 100.7 WMMS.
+35192 if you want to send a text. There's a little bit of Slipknot. I think these guys got called in last minute to do Riot Fest in Chicago this past weekend.
I heard people loved it.
Yeah, they really did. Faith No More had bailed off, and I think maybe Slipknot, I might be getting that wrong, but I think Slipknot came in last minute to fill it out there. But I had friends that were hit me up who had gone to Riot Fest. I haven't gone in a long time, but it's a lot of fun. And apparently MGK was one of the other big acts there, and he was making fun of Slipknot.
Oh, goodness.
Apparently.
Uh-oh.
People. Now, again, I have to imagine that they've probably got two very different fan bases. But he said, let me see who... He wanted people to turn the lights up. Let me see who chose to be here instead of with all the old weird dudes in masks. He was playing on another stage, obviously. And, hey, you all know what I'm really happy that I'm not doing? This is a quote. You know what I'm really happy that I'm not doing? Being 50 years old wearing a weird mask on a stage. I don't know what is his problem with Slipknot.
I don't know.
They've been around a long, long time.
Maybe they were on at the same time as him?
Well, yeah, they probably were, but like, what do you, you're all on a festival and I don't get it. I'm trying to be in the MGK camp, but, and I'm no Slipknot super fan. I'm just saying, like, what's the point of doing that? Maybe because your fans are younger and you're trying to make them, like, feel, hey, look at those old guys over there.
He's not taking any crap from these mask guys.
But also, like,
anti-masker. That's what it comes out
of. Is that what it is? Yeah, I don't get it. I mean, if that's, like, the way you're going to go about, I think somebody in the Slipknot camp made a thinly veiled reference to a while back. Somebody made a thinly veiled reference about somebody in music who failed in one genre and decided to go rock. I think he knows who he is what they said at the time.
I'll tell you another reason I'd hate masks. Most child molesters love them.
There you go. I'm with that lady. Most child molesters love them. Yeah, so I don't know if MGK's got a bone to pick with Slipknot, but who cares? You're up there just making rock and roll, man. Just make, if you've landed, if MGK has spun the wheel and it landed on rock and roll, then play rock and roll.
Right. You do that for a while, and then a few years, you switch gears.
There you go.
I think that's more impressive.
In 5 years, he's going to be playing country music like Kid Rock. Yeah. So embrace it. He'll be banging Sheryl Crow and But other than that, I think Riot Fest, from what I heard from friends and acquaintances, it went off. It's pretty fun.
It was a riot.
It was a riot.
Like
a good riot,
not like the Muni Lot fight.
Not like a Zoot Suit riot or anything. Slipknot, Machine Gun Kelly, Flaming Lips, Devo.
It's a good lineup.
Yeah, really good lineup. It's outside. It's fun. But I don't get all the animosity with the bands. You see, you're all trying to make music and have fun, and
but you're also trying to get headlines. So you know that if you just go up there and play a good set, you entertain the people that are there. But if you talk a little trash, you get some people talking about you that weren't at the show.
I guess, but there are plenty of people who play their sets and don't do that, and people go, oh my God, they were great. I'm going to go, you tell your friends. That's how it always worked out before. You tell your friends about this great band you saw.
Right, but that's if you're just trying to get people to come and see you do or listen to your music. That's not necessarily what MGK is only trying to do. He likes being in the news and being in the news cycle.
But isn't he always like in the news cycle for like...
Because he does stuff like this.
Is that why?
Well, I mean, he does... He speaks his mind and he does outrageous things and so it gets him attention. Mm. And so he's getting some attention for
that.
Got
him Megan Fox.
I mean, that's what got him Megan Fox, talking trash?
Not just being an exotic character, that's all.
I mean, find him exotic.
I haven't seen Megan Fox.
He's a tall, blonde dude from Cleveland.
Exotic.
I mean,
we don't make them here like
he's
that.
He's not from here.
Yeah. No, listen, hypothetically, I understand the move, but I don't know that it really pays off anymore.
Because we're talking about him.
We are, but that's because he's local. Like, if I was, yeah, I wouldn't talk about him if he was from somewhere else.
But, I mean, I think there's other people that talk about him.
I'm sure there are. I've heard. Talking about me.
Like, he did the makeout thing last week at the VMAs where... They're all touching tongues, him and the other 40-year-olds that he was with.
Right.
Open mouth.
Yeah, it was him, Travis Barker, the Kardashian, and Megan Fox.
Megan Fox, yeah. Just
old weird dudes with masks. Listen, I can't imagine there are very many bands in rock and roll. Gwar, Genitortures. Okay, any mask band. You know how bad those masks have to smell when you're done with a show?
Mm-hmm.
That is suffering for your art. MGK is just up there with a guitar slung low and tossing off shade at some other band.
Does he actually play
guitar? I get what you're doing.
Really well.
I mean, define play. I mean,
he,
you know,
he knows how to play
guitar. He's playing chords.
He's not,
you know?
He's not,
not Eddie Van Halen. But you don't have to. You don't have to play. You don't have to shred with what he's playing. But I don't know. There's a lot of bands. There's a lot of bands that don't trash talk other bands.
Right, but that's not necessarily his strategy.
I know.
He's not like other bands, Alan. He says what he wants.
He's
a true punk rocker.
I know.
He'll call out the guys in masks.
Guar played Riot Fest. And he didn't say anything about Guar.
Well, they were time as him.
He must have an issue. He didn't say anything about Smashing Pumpkins or Living Color or Run the Jewels.
And they don't wear masks.
Huh?
Yeah.
Don't they, Mary? Don't they?
Don't we all wear masks?
Metaphorically speaking.
Right. So, listen, I like MGK. I want him to figure out what makes him happy and do his thing. I just want people
speaking his mind makes him happy, and that's what he did.
I guess.
Like you said, they had already made a thinly veiled comment about him, so he's talking a little smack back.
I guess so.
A little smack back.
I guess so.
Why don't we hear about more thickly veiled comments?
Because they're so thickly veiled.
You can't see them or know anything about them.
The mail's so thick.
Yeah. Speaking of child molesters, like that old lady.
I'll tell you another reason I'd hate masks. Most child molesters love them.
After 4 weeks of testimony, the prosecutors have rested their case against one Robert Kelly. After 19 days of allegations of sexual abuse and testimony from more than 40 witnesses, their opening statements were on August the 18th. And they have 4 weeks of testimony. They have the state rests its case.
40 people.
This is the Brooklyn trial. He's got to go do this all over again in Chicago. And in Minnesota. I think there's a district attorney's office in Minnesota that's got a case against him, too.
I thought he had Atlanta, too.
Probably. Jeez. Sure.
So he has
a city where R. Kelly has ever played, and there was probably a previously urinated upon young girl.
Well, that's what I'm saying, though, because he doesn't have any money, and he has to get different lawyers for different states.
Just fall further into debt, I guess. I don't know.
Mm. Yeah, I'm not worried about it.
Maybe he's paying with Groupons to future shows.
But how is he supposed to defend himself? Due process, guys.
Do you know what due process is?
He still can
get an attorney. He just can't pay for a good one.
He's got to get a public defender. One will be appointed for you. Mom, Dad, you're never going to believe this. I'm R. Kelly's new lawyer.
We knew you'd make it big, hon.
Honey, we knew it would happen for you. Who's R. Kelly?
And there's always lawyers that will take...
Is she nice?
a big case like this.
Yeah, but like...
Of course.
It's not like people can watch it, like, cause all of them are closed door.
That's why you have to keep watching that documentary over and over again, make it move.
He's just waiting for the records for this to become unsealed so they can make a new documentary.
Well, actually, I've been listening to, like, a TikTok voice, like, giving a review of the day-to-day, like, court...
Like the robot voice?
It's the TikTok voice. It's like, day 13 of R. Kelly trial.
Keep doing the accent.
Accuser number 7 said that she was sexually abused by Kelly. And Kelly said, no, he didn't. Don't say nothing. And that never happened.
But it's never. No, they didn't.
So I've been watching like reviews like that on YouTube.
This is free time.
Huh.
Let people enjoy things. That's the mantra today.
The whole thing,
Let people enjoy things.
Let them enjoy it.
Right?
I'm not enjoying it.
As long as
I'm
you're not hurting somebody else.
Look at the smile on your face. You haven't smiled this big old day.
I'm keeping up to date. You guys keep bringing
up... You are ear to ear with smiles.
That's how he keeps up to date.
Duh.
Well, because I've made a podcast saying that R. Kelly's going to prison, and I want to make sure that... I fall through. I don't want to give my listeners facts.
I'm not saying you shouldn't or can't do this. I'm just saying, look how happy it makes you.
I'm not happy. Stop it.
I know, man. You look kind of happy.
He is grinning ear to ear.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, I just can't believe that. Stop it. Whatever. What a fall from grace, making wonderful music and giving so much to the world, and then this...
Can you say it without joy in your voice?
Did he give so much to the world?
His music.
Yeah, but every musician gives their music to the world. Mm. Plenty of music musicians who give their gift to the world and aren't peeing on people.
Well, allegedly.
Yeah, it's just not recorded.
Listen, every musician's got a peeing on people phase. But I'm sure even Springsteen back in the day.
Well, I hope this jury isn't biased.
That's against whom? Bias in favor of the truth?
I hope it's a fair trial.
Uh-huh. Well, they're expected to be fair and impartial. Alan, I didn't see MGK ragging on old dudes playing rock when they asked him to play Tommy Lee in the Dirt. I never got around to seeing that.
I saw it.
I read the book, and I was like, there's no way that they can film this or that it's going to be. And was it good?
Yeah, I enjoyed it, and I don't even like
Motley Crue.
Because it's, I mean, there's, like,
I never got around
a heavy section in it when Vince Neil, you know, he's got some heavy sections in it, but for the most part, it's pretty campy and fun.
Yeah, I don't even like rock movies like that, but I watched it when I was with my boyfriend in his basement, and yeah, MGK did well.
Do they get to the point in that saga where Vince Neil's fat, or no? They
no,
end it before
not
that.
Really, no. Mm.
Going on tour with Ozzy just must have been, oh God, just... In the movie, he snorts fire ants, and I'm sure that was probably like a
month.
What?
That's a famous Ozzy story. Like, yes.
Like, okay. Why, though? You know? Just to do it?
Because it was the 80s. Because Ozzy Osbourne is a drug addict. Mm-hmm. He'd snort anything you put in front of him.
Yeah, but it's not going to do anything.
That's why he's
for
a
you.
Doddering shell of a man now. It's like, I don't know what snorting fire ants is going to do to you.
Make you sneeze, probably.
I bet they thought it would do something. Bet they thought it would do something.
You get that fire ant drip?
Yeah. Oh, boy, it's like Tabasco. It's like Frank's Red Hot in there. No, I mean, you know, but that was back when, man, that was pre-AIDS. That was right before AIDS. Early 80s.
Is that what made AIDS?
That's pretty AIDS. Like, I think that
mid-80s, late 80s is when AIDS really... AIDS. Poor A.D. Bryant. No, it was, you know, a lot of those guys got immediately worried when AIDS blew up. But I never got around to seeing that movie.
It's worth watching.
Is it?
Yeah, I liked it. I mean, it's an easy watch, and it's not that long.
I just can't believe
it's fun.
Were people just doing, like, the pull-out method back then?
Yeah.
No one used
I don't know that they were doing that.
They just were leaving it in and then
I don't know what they were doing. Don't know.
Wow. Live it.
Probably paying for a lot of abortions or, I don't know.
Living free back then, just living it in, not caring, like, oh, yeah, I might have a kid, might not. Who cares?
I think it seems like back in the day of rock and roll when, like, you know, Steven Tyler was banging 14-year-olds or whatever, you know, it seems like there was more of an understanding between groupie and act.
Yeah.
What does that mean?
A social contract.
A social contract. There was, well, these girls were lined up because they wanted to have sex with one of these famous rock and roll guys, and they weren't looking to take them to court or sue them or...
Like, that's all they wanted
out of it. They were like a professional. They were like bragging rights that they had sex with Gene Simmons or,
it's
you know.
It's like Penny Lane, and she was the Band-Aid and Almost Famous, and based on a true story where... Their job was basically they get to party and have all the stories, but you got to keep them to yourself to a certain degree and can't really call them out on anything. And that was pretty much it.
Yeah, it's just poor form to do that.
Superpower.
You're a groupie. What's the superpower there?
You get to sleep with all the celebrities but not talk about it.
Can't say anything about it.
That's the worst part. Like, I'm like, I want to sleep with people and talk about it. Why can't I talk about it?
Right. You can't say anything.
I will sign an NDA if I can have at least one friend that will sign an NDA with me just so we could talk about it with each other. Just so I can have one person to vent to.
My superpower would be to make sure you can never mention the word NDA again.
Right.
That is a superpower.
You can never mention those three letters again. You can't even say the word and, even though those three letters are mixed up.
Okay, confidentiality agreement.
No. There you go.
Ow.
Or any...
You know, the word confidentiality has the letters A, N, and D in it, right?
You can't use any words.
You can't use any permutation of those letters of NDA.
Call the Alan Cox Show, 216-578-1007 or 1-800-348-1007.
Three, 800-585-1592. Want to send me a text? AlanCoxShow.com. Everything else? New Andrew WK. It's a really good album. Andy got engaged to that Kat Dennings, too.
Oh, she's so cute.
So everything's coming up Andrew WK. You listen to the show on iHeartRadio from outside Ohio or the far-flung reaches of the state. Let me know. Jared listens in Dayton. Anthony listens in East Lansing, Michigan. I don't know if that's the kid that my son met at the bar. I sent you guys that photo when that happened. Did I send you guys that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Some guy stops my son in a bar at Michigan State University and goes, "Hey, I listened to your dad." And my son's like, "What?" Because I never told my son that I was on the radio. So he was very confused. So very,
you
very
like to
confused.
Keep things private.
That's right.
Like you said.
He thought I was a couch salesman mm-hmm. this whole time. Noah listens in North Versailles. He's one of our Pittsburgh area bureau chiefs. Ryan listens in San Diego. And Holly and Paul listen in Phoenix. Arizona. That's where Phoenix is, right? Arizona?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Arizona. Indians, first of two. These are only seven innings, mercifully. They're getting shut out by the Royals right now. 7-0. And the Royals are not a great team this season, but there it is. Any given Monday, I believe, is the phrase.
Yep.
In baseball. And they only have a few games left to play. A couple of doubleheaders in the mix there. But it's Royals, White Sox here at home, and then they end the Indians era in Texas against the Rangers. I want, and again, this doesn't go back to superpowers, but I hope that over the course of my life, I am in a store while someone is angrily quitting over the PA system.
Oh, yeah.
I would love to be in one of these stores when that happens.
That would be sweet.
Because these always go viral, because obviously they're filming themselves. It's not some bystanders like, "Oh, my God, check this out." They're always filming themselves.
This is the Walmart?
Walmart Louisiana, girl, yeah. Yep. It's Jim Brewer and Half-Baked.
Mm-hmm. No, it's not. Jim Brewer is not the one that quits that way. It's Scarface. They're one friend.
Oh, the Guillermo Diaz,
yeah,
the little guy.
Yeah, he goes. F you, you're cool. F you, yeah.
Okay. Louisiana Walmart worker praised on social media. That's the best case place to get praised because everybody's got their head on straight.
The only place that matters.
Yeah. After quitting job over. I guess what they call a Pennsylvania system there in Louisiana, Bill. It's called a Pennsylvania system. I don't know what that means.
PA.
I'm sorry? They call it a Pennsylvania. Louisiana is so backward, you know what I mean? Pennsylvania system.
It makes me think of what's the Maine court Jason Sudeikis sketch?
The what?
It was an SNL bit from years ago where it was a. Maine courtroom is like Maine justice or something like that, and it's supposed to take place in Maine, but he was a Louisiana-style judge. And all his references were from being the South. But like, "But we're in Maine." He's like, "Yeah, we're in Maine. We do things different down here."
Yeah, down here. He won for Ted Lasso, by the way.
Yeah.
A lot of people won. The Emmys, who knew that they were on last night, but they were. And Emmy Awards.
Do you know who hosted?
Cedric the Entertainer.
That was a weird pick for me. I thought that was very strange.
Listen, I think you thought Cedric the Entertainer was
Bernie
dead.
Mac.
Bernie Mac is what I'm thinking of. The great, great Bernie Mac. Listen, when you call yourself the Entertainer, you're going to get gigs.
Yeah.
You just have to be entertaining. And I don't know if he was the best pick for it. I saw a little bit here and there. But I like Cedric the Entertainer. Just in theory, I like him. Yeah.
It seemed like a weird choice because I feel like they've been going like younger in the past few years with hosts.
Yeah, should have been JoJo Siwa.
Mm-hmm. Who did it last year? Was it Colin...
Robinson.
No,
Jost?
Yeah, Jost.
Shut up, Colin Robinson.
We watched Michael What You Do in the Shadows last night.
They did the Emmys last year?
I thought they did.
Yeah, you might be right. Anyway...
Or like 2 years ago.
Sudeikis won for Ted Lasso, and Hannah Waddingham won, and
I like her a lot.
Seth Rogen slaughtered her name, but when he called her up. But yeah, I didn't even know the Emmys were on last night. And then you see Jason Sudeikis in his velvet tux. And he's having a good year. Rumor is Apple TV is going to pay him $1 million an episode for the third season of Ted Lasso.
Nice. Good for him.
So good for him.
Such a good show.
And he's a very talented guy. I just like him a lot. He's got some dramatic movie coming out called South of Heaven that looks good. Kind of like a small town heist type thing. But he clearly wants to branch out into some other things.
And the morning show, season two, just dropped on that.
Yeah.
Like that show a lot. Yeah. Apple TV shows are pretty good.
Pretty good.
Pretty good.
Anywho.
And it's usually Apple's so expensive. This is the one service that's only like $5 a month.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Oh. Anyway, this girl, I want to be in a store when somebody quits on the PA system.
Oh, yeah.
This is what I want. This is in Carencro, Louisiana. Where she gets on. We've all seen these. Mm-hmm. We've seen somebody get on. You suck. F you. This company treats people like crap. Which, again, I don't know what to say. We need to get past this thing. And I don't even know when we developed it. We really need to get past this expectation that companies need to be like moral entities.
But it's not necessarily moral entities that they need to be. They need to pay their employees a living wage and then not shame them for taking days off.
Yeah.
And
that's or make you feel like you might lose your job.
That's all true, but companies' only job is to keep it in the black. They don't care about you or any of this other stuff. You know, people are, this whole story blew up.
That's a bad way to handle business in if we're trying to be a better society.
But we're not. We're trying to be a capitalist.
I don't argue with you, but I'm saying these massive companies, you know everybody
just sucks.
Everybody flipped out because there was a story that Nike and Amazon still put ads on COVID conspiracy sites. And I'm like, if that matters to you, that's useful info to have. You can personally boycott Nike and Amazon. Good luck. But this notion that companies are supposed, they put ads there because there's thousands of eyeballs on these dumb conspiracy sites. You fish where the fish are.
I thought all the people that would be on those sites were already burning their Nikes over the Colin Kaepernick deal years ago.
That's now, why what they're on the site. They have to buy new ones.
What they don't get on Nike, they get from Amazon, you know. But this girl grabs the phone in the Walmart and said, this place sucks. You can't fire me. I quit. I did have it. Where is it?
Where's the clip? One of these where I go and quit a Walmart. I never worked there. I just want to quit.
Guys, everybody. Oh, here it is. A woman named Beth used the PA system.
Attention, Walmart shoppers and associates. My name is Beth from Electronics. I've been working at Walmart for almost 5 years, and I can say that everyone here is overworked and underpaid. We're told that we're replaceable. This company treats their elderly associates like... To Jared, our store manager, you're a pervert. Greta and Kathy, I hope you don't speak to your families the way you speak to us. Manage it and f this job. I quit.
Now f this job. Take this job and shove it.
Hey, there you go.
I ain't working here no more.
Why do they just think that it'd be better somewhere else? Especially after you do something like that.
I don't know what she was making, but you can go across the street and make $15 an hour, maybe $20 an hour at Taco Bell.
Yeah.
But you're still going to be overworked. You're still going to be understaffed. Like, you're still going to hate your job. Why do you
agree? But if you're making more money, like crap, too, though. Just because it's Walmart, each management team is different.
I understand
that. So if you have a better management team.
Yeah, that's the assumption. But what if you don't? And then
you
just
go
somewhere else.
Listen, I saw an Amazon commercial where everybody in it was talking about what an amazing place to work Amazon was.
Oh, well, that's good.
They need to give those people more of a spotlight. Where are those? You don't see those people picking up a phone. I saw a Walmart commercial. This girl just quit a Walmart. I saw a Walmart commercial. The last place you'd ever think that they'd get glowing reviews, right?
Mm-hmm.
But a Walmart commercial where every associate in there was talking about what an amazing place to work it was. So, boy, I just don't know what to believe.
I don't know what to believe. It's hard to figure out.
What's going on with these
it's
people?
It's almost like some advertising might be false.
It's not false.
Not false. It's maybe. Advertising.
No. Can't do false advertising.
Just seems a little fishy.
But I want to be in a store when this happens.
So somebody just go start hanging out in Walmarts. This is on you, man.
What makes you think I already don't marry?
You don't have time. You're chasing a toddler.
That's why they call me the Sultan of the Steel Yard, all right? Because I'm always hanging out.
Oh, shove it.
Yeah, that's right, Johnny Payton.
I ain't working here no more. A woman done left, took all the reasons.
family for now 15 years. All this time I watched my woman drowning in a pool of tears. And I've seen a lot of good folk die, had a lot of bills to pay. I'd give the shirt right off of my back if I had the guts to say, take this job
and shove it. Ow, 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 ow. Johnny Paycheck, the pride of Greenfield, Ohio.
Walker Hayes did a cover of this song where he says, take this Applebee's 2 for 20 and shove it in my mouth.
He was at the iHeart Festival over the weekend. He was singing that song. I like their chicken fried shrimp and their Oreo shakes and their whatever. They do chicken fried shrimp?
Yeah, nice. Chicken fried shrimp. It's called City Shrimp.
Everybody's looking for a new foray into your fast casuals, all right? Johnny Paycheck, who was born Donald Eugene Little.
I was waiting for you to say Levy there. I was like,
no, he's been dead for a while, but he is from Greenfield, Ohio, and he's, of course, best known for that song. Take this job and show. You know what? I'll tell you something. There's this. I was reading a book review because I'm cool. I was reading a book review. Somebody
just read the book.
Yeah, right.
Written called. Well, this is how, if I determine I want to purchase the book, right? Cleveland Scene did a little dive on it. It's called Lost Restaurants of Downtown Cleveland. And they opened this review by saying that they figured it was just going to be another one of these, hey, this used to be here books, but that it was a really good book. And as I'm reading this, and they're going through the restaurants that used to be, not just in Cleveland, but specifically here, we need to bring back some of these old-timey restaurants.
Ground Round.
No, no, no. 1800s type restaurants, oh, wow. Right? Like
Ponderosa.
I mean, no, like, you know, everybody complains about so much homogeneity, right? Like, everything's the same.
Nobody's complaining about the homos. I think
bring back
they
the
cause line. Hurricanes.
Bring back the old-timey stuff. Nostalgia's big business.
It's got to be nostalgia that you were aware of, though. Can't just bring back something from the 1800s and be like, hey, didn't you guys miss this? Like, we didn't know it was like, what, dirty water?
No, let me rattle off a couple of these for you. All right. Okay? This book is going to be out, it's going to be released on September the 27th. It's called The Lost Restaurants of Downtown Cleveland. And just a couple of the anecdotes here just really jumped out. In the 1880s, restaurants called Beefsteak Dungeons were all the rage throughout the country. Beefsteak Dungeons. While you were there, men would have white butcher aprons on. They'd sit on whiskey barrels, and they'd eat grilled steak with their hands. The usual accompaniment was beer and celery stalks. You telling me people wouldn't line up some hipster joint where you're sitting on whiskey barrels in an apron eating a grilled steak with your hand? Cleveland's version was called Finley's Phalanstery, and it was located at Huron and East 9th. And it was located in a basement. Bring back the Beefsteak Dungeon. So I'd never even heard of that before. And now it's all I can think about.
More celery, please. Celery, are there breadsticks?
We had a cup for our bottomless celery and beer. Hey, everyone, eat a steak with their hands? Well, come on down to Finley's Phalanstery. I don't even know what a phalanstery is.
Yeah, I like using a knife and fork to eat a steak. And especially, they aren't accounting for people using their phones while they're eating dinner. So
you gotta keep
wiping your hands off because you got steak all over.
How are you going to take pictures and promote it on social media if you got steak hands?
And you're in a basement where there's no connection.
Jeez, see, this is why.
Maybe, I really haven't thought this through.
Nope.
Maybe that doesn't scratch you where you're itch. Let me throw this at you. A chain of Depression-era cafeterias called Blue Boar that popped up in Louisville and Little Rock opened in Cleveland in 1935.
You get an orange and an eighth of a piece of bread.
The dining room seated 600 people who enjoyed dishes like crusty meat pie, creamed salmon with noodles and eggs, roast leg of veal, which cost 16 cents.
All right, I like the price point.
Yeah. But creamed salmon?
Yeah.
Egg noodles? No, thank you.
I'm more on board with the hand steak place than
a 600-person.
600-person.
Yeah.
Crispy meat
cream
pie.
Salmon, crusty meat pie joint. All right.
Just going to the gruel hole.
Ugh.
Yeah. Captain Frank's Seafood House, which opened on East 9th in 1954. The restaurant opened without a liquor license because the mayor at the time believed that it would promote a honky-tonk atmosphere.
Yeah, at a seafood joint.
A seafood joint. We don't want no honky-tonk atmosphere. Anyway, suffice to say, I'm buying this book, The Lost Restaurants of Downtown Cleveland, because I'm going to do a deep dive, and I will be calling my venture capital friends and my circle of potential investors, and I'm going to drop a prospectus to bring back the new age of beefsteak dungeons.
When you...
And I hope that you're all on board with me. The Alan Cox, you know, that's how you know you've made it in local media, when you're just not doing your media thing. You got some other dumb thing going on, right? Like, you got, hey, I got chicken and fish, or whatever, right? You open up a restaurant. What could go wrong opening up a restaurant? Most of them just do great. I'm going to open up Alan Cox Beefsteak Dungeons. ACBD.
You walk in to your investors meeting, which I'm assuming you're like on a stage like Steve Jobs, all black, little tiny microphone. You have your hands by your face.
So many investors.
And you walk in and you say three words. Krusty meat pie. They're going to say...
Wet ham discs.
Absolutely not.
Yeah, there's a shortage on those. You can't get those. You can get some crusty meat pies. But...
No, I'm not going for the crusty meat pie. I'm going for the beefsteak dungeon.
Okay, so in that case, he's going to go, all right.
Because what's overhead going to be? Aprons, whiskey barrels, and meat.
You know how silverware has been holding us back this whole time, and an assortment of sides just keeps... We never sell any of them. Everybody just wants... steak and celery.
That's right.
Why aren't we just selling steak and celery? That's all people want. You get a steak, what do you want next to it? A bunch of stalks of celery. Right? Do you want to be there cutting it with a knife and a fork like an idiot? Or do you want to just go hand to mouth and eat your steak like a caveman?
Yes.
Just tearing it bite by bite right off the steak.
We're removing one more restriction from the farm to table equation, right? Farm to table, to hand to mouth.
The knife and fork aren't keeping it from
being any more farm to table.
We're replacing silverware. I'm removing silverware from my overhead. You bring your own silverware in the form of 10 fingers.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
This is fleshware. We call this fleshware. Bring your own fleshware to the beefsteak dungeon.
Bloody fleshware.
Yeah, I've already got my...
Everybody gets their steak anything past medium rare, and they're just like trying to bite through it. Just like,
there's no way.
There's no way. Oh, ye of little faith. There's no way. Where there's a will, there's a way, Mary.
Well, and then you got to hire everybody named Will, and that's confusing and...
You guys don't get it, do you? You don't. No, nobody sees my vision. Nobody gets my vision.
Prove us wrong, buddy. Prove us wrong.
I plan on it. Opening night for the ACBD, and you guys are on that list, and you walk up, and I know what'll happen. I know. Everybody will assume it's not going to work. So, sure, inside their jacket pocket, because there will be a strict dress code, or inside a purse, you're going to bring silverware.
So I have to dress super fancy
to eat with your hands.
You're going to be covered in an apron, but under the guys used to wear three-piece suits to ball games. So yes, dress nice. I'm going to cover you in an apron. You have to worry about it.
Listen,
you can wear your finery.
Can I bring my own apron?
Of course, BYOA.
When it inevitably fails, can you open AC crust pie?
No.
Come on,
crusty meat pies.
I feel like you don't need to use the word crust on a pie. No. No one's getting a soft pie like you want.
I don't like the word crust with meat.
I don't know that...
Crusty meat pie. Yeah.
I don't know that...
How'd your day go? Ooh, not good. She had a crusty meat pie.
Crusty meat pie, man.
I don't know that cream salmon with noodles and eggs and a roast leg of veal is going to be the crowd pleaser that you think it is.
Oh, God.
All right, I got a break. But something to think about. And good luck with the book.
And now I must leave you as the Brady Bunch is on, and I find four of those children incredibly arousing. Get out of here.
Be careful of what you say. Be careful in every way. Be careful of what you do. Big Brother is watching you. Be circumspect and discreet. Stay light on your mental feet.
one slip and you know you're through. Big Brother is watching you. Conform with all directives. Remember obedience pays. And when you watch that TV screen, remember it works both ways. You'll disappear in a wink. Unless you can double think, you'll vanish into the blue. Big Brother is watching you.